Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Any additions or changes to the agenda? But if it goes long.
Is this what you have? I'm on the floor over there.
Okay. The minutes. Your motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minute.
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion, questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
You guys want to turn your mics on?
That's what happens when I come.
Okay. Old business, EMA, Chad Jenkins. Let's see if the mic's working.
You have to turn it on.
Good evening.
Bang on it.
You have to turn it.
Boogie check.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for entertaining my request. I'm here to ask to apply for a grant from Duke Energy. It is $3,500. There's zero match. It is a donation, a charitable donation from Duke. That money is budgeted for equipment to go into our growing emergency operations center, be for a large format printer and toner to go with that. The second component is to put a hitch on the EMA Jeep so I can actually tow my stuff, which would be a new capability for us for our mobile command post, our light boards, and sideboards.
Okay, any questions?
So be sure you put your budget for increased fuel costs to towing stuff around.
I already put that in there. It's there for you.
We don't need to vote on that, do we?
No.
I don't think so. Okay.
The first one I missed, the first use.
So we're going to put a large format printer. So Duke gave us a $5,500 grant last year. Again, no match. We don't pay anything into that. No time goes into that. We bought computers, monitors, to actually establish an EOC, which we've not had in the county for a while. This is just to add another piece of equipment, a large format printer in case they need to print maps for our firefighters, law enforcement.
Okay, and the trailer hitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the trailer hitch.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Do we need to approve?
No, I asked that already.
We don't need to. Okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
Yes. Okay, IT for Ms. Laura Minette.
Hi. Hello. I also applied for a grant, or maybe I'm asking for permission to apply for a grant, whatever you want to say. It's from the State Homeland Security Program grant. I applied for a lot of money. I probably won't get any of it, so I'm told by the EMA director. It's really competitive, so we'll see.
Nice.
There's no match. It's just for some security equipment for us. So.
Okay.
Would you just detail it? I know we saw some stuff.
Oh, yeah. So I got I asked for a network monitoring system, and I asked for it to cover multi-factor authentication, which is total for, I think I applied for 3 years of subscriptions, which I'm told is not actually allowed, $90,000 or so. Anything else?
And that multi-factor is a key cybersecurity element, right?
We have to have it whether we get the grant or not, so that's why I threw it on there. It's required by October for us, actually.
But it's an important part of our cybersecurity.
Yes. Yes, it is. It stops, multi-factor stops like 99.9% of all cyber attacks, so all bulk cyber attacks.
Any other questions? Thank you. Appreciate it. Your heads up on that. New business. Mr. Ted Adams came all the way back from vacation to bless us with his presence.
And brought a storm with me.
Did you ever find your dog?
Yes. Yes, we did. She's a runner. She went, her name's Pokey, and she went to the Pokey. We bonded her off.
Your dog, Pokey?
Yes. thank you for hearing me out today. I wrote a letter to the council. Hopefully you took time to read the letter. My proposal in the letter was to, it sounds like we've been talking about some grants, suspend a position, an additional position in my office, and then consolidate that position. We did that, I want to say approximately a year and a half. We eliminated or suspended a position. It was not a grant-funded position. It was a user fund position. And then my legal secretary absorbed that position, and then we gave her a stipend. That's worked out really well. You may have heard Bill Hamilton, who used to sit on the council as my investigator. He is finally fully retired. Congratulations to Bill. Rather than fill that position, I saw another opportunity to eliminate or suspend the position. That is a grant-funded position. That grant has been declining annually as we've been seeking it. And it gave me concerns, and had to talk to Mr. Hamilton about, you know, I'm worried we're going to not get this grant one of these days. And it had been declining. It was a match grant. I want to say it was 75-25, which means state would cover 75%, we cover 25%. And we would normally, well, we would use a cash match to match that. So essentially we were paying about $16,000 to have Bill Hamilton as our full-time investigator. My proposition to the council would be to not fill that position, absorb it amongst my staff, and raise their salaries approximately $15,000. So still saving the county money. I hate saying eliminating position, but certainly not filling another position. That'll save us space. I come from the private sector. I don't want to say, obviously, human resources are our number one expense in running the county. But suspending a position, I think, is, if we can do it, is wise. We still think we can offer the same services. I think I can train the staff to fulfill that position. The only thing that we see that we'd be losing, I'm going to ask the officers to do more follow-up, which is part of their jobs as well. So I think we can do it. That was my proposition to the council, to suspend this position. We did not seek the grant because I knew Mr. Hamilton was retiring, and I knew that grant was already dwindling anyway. So my request would be to raise the salaries, absorb the position, raise the salaries of the three staff members, that being my victim advocate, my legal secretary, and my legal assistant.
You said it one more time. Those last three will be raised? Just the last three?
Just the last three. Those are the only three, in my opinion, capable of absorbing the position. And my proposal would be to raise the legal assistant and legal secretary the four grades, which is about, I want to say, $2,500 to $3,000, and then the victim advocate, who has to, as a grant-funded position, dedicate most of her time toward, well, all of her time towards victims. I don't think she'll be able to assist as much, so my proposal is to raise her two grades.
If I remember, last time you changed some of the salaries around, you were trying to increase, I think, these similar positions, and it still seemed too low to me. I think I commented at the time, so I think that's what you're trying to address.
They are. They're dreadfully low, and I included as part of my letter to the council, IPAC, the Indiana Prosecuting Attorneys Council, kind of, they hired a consultant firm, and they gave us ranges for those positions, and we are not even close to the bottom part of that range. And that's with 60 counties, including small counties. I mean, we're not Hamilton County, I get that. But still trying to value my staff and keep them there. And if that includes eliminating a position, and still saving the county money.
And then last question, the victim's advocate, it's a pretty critical role, right?
And yes, I'd say required. It's not technically required by the Indiana Constitution, but victim notification is. And we're at a capacity where I know I can't do it, and I don't think I can put that on my staff either. I think the council knows me well enough. I do try to cut every time I can, but I cannot. Yeah, that is required. Yeah. We're just going to need.
I guess what I was getting at is, have the demands on that position been kind of ever increasing with kind of our mental health crisis and things that are emerging?
Absolutely. Well, definitely through COVID, people being together in close quarters has caused a lot of victim crimes to go up. But yes, it's always a demanding position. But unfortunately, business is always good in my field.
Any questions? Brad, how does this proposal work with you? Well, he said he's going to not have his...
That's fine. We work well with Ted. We'll do whatever we have to.
Okay. Good. And is this for next year's budget? Are you going to try
to... I did not include it in this year's budget, but I'm happy to submit an amended budget. I wanted to have this meeting, and I didn't get in before the budgets were due. But it wouldn't take me long to readjust the budget.
I guess, Bill has retired, mm-hmm. So the funding is immediately available from his position. Where you asking for an immediate implementation? Is it this year, or?
I'd have to speak to the auditor's office on that, but essentially, yes, I believe it would be.
Yeah.
And since we're still overall cutting and saving money, I think it would be immediately available.
Did the grant die when Bill left?
We did not renew the grant when Bill left.
When did it renew? The renewal date.
It's
past. You're saying as long as it's not future, it's past, right?
We have to have it. The new grant starts October, and we had to have our submission in. I think it was April or May.
You're saying you're still getting money from the grant?
Only if we use it.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Is it for him or elsewhere?
It has to be used for him, otherwise they don't. And I don't see from the auditor whether they send a weekly check or what they do. But we've notified them we're not filling the position at this time, and they know they're fully aware of that.
And the $15,000 is separate from that grant.
The $15,000 was the county's match towards the grant,
which has been budgeted.
It's now freed up for something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'll see if you use the budget I submitted already, it looks like very significant cuts, and I'm requesting we just basically reallocate that money.
When was it requested?
June or April.
So half the money has been used for him?
No, I would say for him.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah, because I only have like 2 weeks of the third quarter that he was here.
About half the money.
Thank you.
That'd be great money.
Yeah. Is there ever a time or an instance that you can see or possibly envision of needing the services again where you wouldn't be able to use them from the sheriff's department?
Well, over the last 3 months since he's retired, we made a list of times that we think we could use him. I think I can fill the gap. I used to do that work on my own, because quite frankly, investigators tend to be expensive in the private sector. But I think I can do some of that work on my own. I think my staff can pick up the other portion of the work. Where I think there is a gap, I think that can be filled in by the deputies doing some follow-up. And I think that we have a lot of young deputies, I think they'd be willing to do that follow-up. I don't want to send my staff out in the field to interview critical witnesses without proper training. I don't mind doing it, but I don't want to make myself a witness, and I don't want to expose my staff there. And that's the gap where I think the officers can fill it.
Any other questions? Okay. Question for Scott.
Yeah.
Do we need a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to implement it immediately, not wait. I mean, I don't know why we sit on money. There's a need there. We're desperately underpaying the staff. We know that. So why wait would be my concern. But
my only recommendation, and I don't want to talk you out of that, I'd like to sit down with the auditor's office and make sure all of that's kosher.
Yeah. So next time?
When is the next meeting?
One month.
Wednesday. You can do Wednesday.
I'm going to rush it for Wednesday.
I'd like to get it done. Why don't we do this, if I could? Council maybe moves to authorize the change pending the approval and confirmation from the auditor that financing can be worked out, and then you report back how that's going to be arranged. I mean, I don't want to push it too hard, but...
Well, if he's willing to look into it and get all ducks in a row, I think just let him do that, and even if it's our next regular meeting. Is that going to...
Just the employees yourself.
Is that going to lose many employees?
Can we retroactively do it?
Between now and next month? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I'll shoot for Wednesday. I live my life by a calendar, so.
And really, the report is like 1 minute to the council Wednesday, and you can do it virtually if you need to.
Okay. I'm up for the task.
So do we need to make a motion now or wait for them?
I think we just wait. Auditor? Otherwise known as Julie. But
if you're in budget time, is it feasible to work with him on that?
I am in budget time right now. We are trying to get books ready for Wednesday.
Okay.
I mean, that's my biggest issue.
Fair enough.
So,
next one. So, can I ask a question? Are we basically establishing a precedence that any department wants to increase their labor cost for their employees, then all they got to do is go in and maybe get rid of an employee?
I mean, we did that, I think, with the help of the auditor's office, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was.
Didn't we tell the auditor at some point in time a few years ago that if you want to get rid of an employee, then you get rid of them and just take that money?
I got rid of one of them for me, and then the other one.
I didn't get rid of anybody out of the auditor's office. So I don't know where that comment's coming from, but. Isn't that what we did? I mean, the council did that, right? So we're kind of establishing that as a precedence. But I've read your document. It's labor cost neutral.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't cost any more.
Yeah.
But I guess my concern is, what's the precedence that we're establishing? Is that so? We just tell the sheriff's department to get rid of three or four deputies, and then they can increase their labor costs to the other ones for me. I'm not asking you that. I'm just making a statement.
Yeah, because
we've got a work session this Wednesday, and based on that, the schedule for this Wednesday, we won't spend any time talking about. Matter of fact, we have not spent any time as a council body in 2024 discussing the overall cost of county government. And then we've got the Form 1s coming up, and on the 24th, in a week, then we've got the all-day meeting to review all of the Form 1s. So,
I guess, Susan, I mean, does anything like this ever bind the council's hands? I mean, do we have any concerns whatsoever that we have to do this for anyone else who walks in the door?
But Scott, I've got next on the agenda. It looks like we got Sheriff. Well, actually, auditor and other elected officials.
Yeah.
And the auditor all year long has been, we got several department heads asking for a 5 pay grade increase. Now, we're sitting at $6.5 million in labor costs for 2024. We got another $3.5 million that's going out in employee benefits. So we're basically $9.5 million to round up, say, $10 million. You know, and then based off the revenue off the 1782, that's basically half of the revenue coming in. You know, I'm not saying no, I'm not saying yes, but I'm saying, you know, can we slow this down and think this through before we make any irrevocable decisions?
I don't think it's irrevocable, but Jim, I hear what you're saying, and I think what you're suggesting is that the 15K could need to be used elsewhere. Is that?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, what Ted's proposing is, and it's a simple, I mean, it's not a big deal. Right, because we lost Bill Hamilton, fine, so take that money, divide out, that's all you're saying. And actually, based off of what you've got here, and you've committed in writing, is that actually your labor costs going forward will be less than what they were in the previous years with Bill Hamilton, is what you're advocating.
That is correct.
Yeah, and I understand that. So this is a, you know, on the surface, just the prosecuting attorney's office is an easy decision. That's not what I'm speaking to. What I'm speaking to is we've got all sorts of other departments coming back asking for five pay grade increases. And I guess let's pause this, right, until we take the time to look at, you know, let's listen to what the rest of them on the agenda tonight have to say.
Yeah.
You know, because financially, you know, as we all know, we're in a real difficult position as a county, so I'll just leave it at that.
Well, the question is a little different than just asking for an increase. He's taking something away. He's also, I don't know if your figures in there took into account benefits, because if you take one human out for benefits, that's a reasonable chunk of change.
Well, if you start thinking about overhead of cost, benefits, the cost of having an employee space as a cost, it's, I mean, I'd answer Mr. Kemp's question as a taxpayer, yeah. I mean, if we can provide the same services with less human resources, we should do that.
So that being the case, then let's terminate 25 employees across the board, and then that will free up a good $1.5 million in revenue.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really a...
And tonight is not the forum for us to discuss that issue.
The other position and then this position is through attrition. I mean, it's just simply folks retiring.
Yeah, it sounds like a good precedent, if anything.
So if you can, to answer the question, if you can reanalyze your staff as a department head after somebody retires and believe that, hey, we can, at no cost or as savings to the county, provide the same services more efficiently, then we should do that.
Yes.
And I'm happy to set that precedent.
I move that we table it till our next council meeting.
And could you also add you said you'd work something up. Julie can't do it by Wednesday. So could you do that and also add the quote benefits savings we'll get?
Well, if I'm remembering this figure in my letter, the 41, let's call it 41.7, included salary and benefits.
Okay, I know that.
So right, I think that's a gross figure.
Okay. Whatever, but between now and that time, we'll have time to get closer to the other budgetary issues.
Certainly.
And have more confirmation.
In the meantime, if you'd like, I can resubmit my budget, including that. Remember, the one I've submitted has eliminated the position altogether. If that helps, I'm happy to do that, and then I can meet with the auditor and see how that, where that grant is.
Great. Right. If we can do that by the next meeting, that'd be good.
Certainly. Happy to do it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good direction to go. Okay, the auditor and other elected officials who aren't going to talk about money.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, good morning.
ask you.
You guys are a little
Hey, Sheriff, what do you think?
So that's actually not a test.
Oh.
There's a visual confirmation of rotation, Fruitdale and a little bit north. The storm is tracking east, southeast. It doesn't quite put it over us here. But the, again, our sirens are kind of all coverage here for the county. So it's more for the northern part of the county. So we're watching it. If we all need to run to the basement, catch up.
Good job.
Follow me.
I need to stall in this bathroom.
I didn't think we had a basement. Yeah. Do you want to explain your spreadsheet? You have a spreadsheet in front of you.
About this 8x8.5x14 spreadsheet.
That's it?
Yes.
On this spreadsheet, you're talking about 5%. So I showed you the amount that it would be for 5%. And then I showed you the amount of the 5 pay grades. Most of us are requesting 5 pay grades. Basically, all of us are. We have people that feel like they are basically unappreciated. The morale here is terrible. And they need more money. They can't live with what they have. And I can't let it go. Ted's done stuff to his, but I can't. I have a bookkeeper that just left because she didn't have enough money. She wasn't making enough money. She came up to the commissioners. I can't hire a bookkeeper with the money that's making right now because nobody's applying for the job.
Any questions? Comments?
Julie.
Yes, sir.
If we look at 1782... I've got it in here.
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Okay. And we know that 81%, basically 80, 81, 82, 83% of our labor costs, all the departments listed here, are all coming out of the general fund. Are they not?
Yes.
Okay. And we know that for 24, we were $400,000 in excess spending above the estimated revenue. I think it was $8.7 million. And I've got a report from you at the end of May that shows the cash reserve balance on the general fund was down to about $1 million. We also know that if it hadn't been for the $2.9 million that we had that dropped out of the air at the end of 2023, we'd have been well world of hurt. We would have been $1,350,000 in the red just on the group medical alone. So I appreciate what you're proposing, and I appreciate, but we're going to have to put our heads together to figure out how to pay for it, Julie. I don't know.
That's exactly right.
Okay, because I don't know. What I do know is that we can sit up here and, to me, we ought to get a plaque, and it just reads, ask and thou shall receive. And if we do that, and the county hits the wall financially, all right, which could very well likely happen if we burn our cash reserves down to the point to where there aren't any, then who takes the blame? It's the council that takes the blame for that. It takes the responsibility for financial, the fiscal policy and the financial health and welfare of the county. So if you can figure out how to cover that $200,000 increased cost, because we've also got the sheriff department that, everybody wants more money.
I'm fully aware of that.
Okay, well, how do we, explain to me how do we pay for it?
I don't want to argue this point with you, but I'm the only department head standing up here right now that doesn't have a position that needs desperately filled. We are not getting applications to these positions. If we are, it's somebody who's going to come here, they're going to stay maybe a year, we'll get them a year. We're going to have to retrain that position. And if I'm talking out of my head, you guys let me know. But they are having a desperate time filling needed positions.
Let me ask you this. If we want to try to cut costs, the one area that we can cut is PERF. Is PERF. PERF needs to go away.
That's one of our only benefits.
One of your only benefits, we're paying out $2,000 per month per employee for group medical.
I don't have health insurance here.
Well, I know.
A lot of
we are paying out $1.8 million a year for group medical. My point is that we can't, you know, you guys are asking for this, but where's the money? Show me the money. How do we do it? It's not that I'm saying that, you know, I disagree with you. I appreciate, you know, I understand that. But the hardcore reality is we as a county don't have the money.
We have to work together to find it.
I agree.
Here's going to be your hardcore reality. This is my office. I have an issue coming up with an employee that he's going to be gone a lot. I'm not going to go into it. It's not a secret. It doesn't matter. I have no one else but me. I have things that I have to do. I cannot miss some appointments. Who's going to watch my office? Who's going to do it? Because I can't be there every single day for the next 6 weeks. Because I don't have anybody that I can hire that I trust or have time to train. Because no one wants to apply that's decent for my job in my office.
Let me ask you this then. This employee that we're not, the employee's not quitting.
No, he's not quitting.
Okay.
FMLA.
Okay.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
We don't have to get into the details. Well, the issue is we're all in favor.
Gary, can I finish my conversation, please, before you cut me off?
2 minutes.
This is straight out of the employee handbook. A person that's been with Brown County government, all right, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, only works 9 months out of the year. Person, actually, that's a first-year person. Person star hires in this year, brand new, will get 12.6 weeks paid time off.
Okay.
Okay? Well, now, wait a minute.
Well, what's your point?
Well, my point.
I need your point.
All right, if you'll listen, and if you want to learn, I'll share it with you. If we use our average employee is let's say 5 years on the job.
Good luck with that.
Okay, so is it shorter?
I'm sure it is now because you can't even hear them a year.
Seriously.
Okay, well, a year, it's real simple. They get 504 hours paid time off. They work, they get 12.6 weeks paid time off. So they're working 2.93.
What book are you reading from? Because that is not.
I've got this in an Excel spreadsheet. I'm not going to sit here and be gaslighted. It comes right up.
This is
right.
Oh,
no, this is not right now. Hold it.
Hang on. This is straight out of the policy handbook. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you, document the whole thing. I've got it right here in an Excel spreadsheet. Did the work. And I'm trying to explain the challenge that we have as a county. If we have 10 employees, and those 10 employees only work 9 months out of the year because they get 3 months paid time off, what happens is we have lost productivity, and we actually have
3 months paid time off.
That's all we're saying.
I don't care about that. You explain it.
I am explaining it.
No, you're holding up a book. Explain it.
I just did. Okay. All right. Here it is. You get 8 hours, our employees in county government work 7 hours a day, and they get paid for eight. Is that not true?
Oh, you're fixing it, including.
Do we pay the average employee 8 hour days, even though they only work 7?
That's what you're including.
Well, that's 260 hours.
That's how you're getting the.
That's 260 hours, is what it is. Yeah. Vacation hours. A brand new employee first year gets 20 vacation hours. There are 48 hours in personal leave hours. There's 48 hours in sick leave. 128, there's 16 paid holidays. That's 128 hours a year lost productivity. So total productivity lost is 504 hours per year for an employee with less than 1 year. That, and you add that up, and you take that at $6.5 million in labor costs, we pay out roughly $1.7 million a year for employee paid off. On top of that, you've got the group medical. On top of that, we've got the perf that we're paying out. I mean, we pay 11.2% for every employee into a defined pension plan with the state of Indiana, and you all are telling me that we've got high turnover. Well, if we've got high turnover, why are we paying out $700,000 a year when most of the employees working for Brown County government will never be here long enough to ever meet the qualifications for that pension plan? We could save that $650,000, $700,000 a year, move it over to the 457 along with the 401A, and then we can take some of that money and free it up to be able to increase your salaries. My point is I'm looking and trying to figure out how to find the money. I'm on your side, okay? But we're upside down. We're not on a financial sustainable pathway.
Period. I want to say something here. This discussion would be better done with the department heads and maybe three of the council members to discuss this in a broader detail. Right now, I don't think we're going to get too far into it and get much clarity that we need. Is that acceptable to the department heads? We get together with you all? I know you have a lot of questions. We are in your favor. Jim's talking about some financial realities. We just got to come to agreement on how those play out.
Which three will it be?
No, not you guys.
No, us? No, I know.
Well, it's going to be one of them. So we'll arrange that with you in the next, probably right after the budget session gets going. So at least
we're going to have to sit down and we're going to have to figure this out. Okay, I can't do it on my own. It's too much. It's too difficult.
It's your guys' decision about PERT. We aren't asked about health insurance and you change that. So you have the option to make those changes without involving us when it comes to PERF and other things. And if that's how you feel you need to make those changes, then that's on you. That's your job. But it's our job
to try and staff our and you know what? I don't blame any department head within the 26 departments for asking for more money. Because we as human beings will always act in our own self-interest. And what I do understand is what you guys are looking at is you're looking at how much gets deposited every pay period in your bank account. And what I know for a fact is if we have single income households, it's going to be very difficult to try to live. Very difficult. So this is a very serious issue, all right? But my challenge is, in being on the council for only 18 months, in 2024, you know how much time we as a council body have sat down and discussed this as just the council? Zero. We've not talked about this all year. And here we are with the budget coming up next week, and we've not discussed this issue at all.
Judy?
I just want to say that those folks that are on PERF, I think should still have the option, particularly those people who've been here a long time, should still have that option to stay on PERF. You know, I'm one of the old folks. I liked my PERF, and I liked the PERF retirement I got. Sure, back in the day, I would have had more money too, but I have to tell you, I really enjoy my PERF retirement.
Okay, so, that's good. That's a good point there. Many of you are here, we're not going to resolve it here. We need to educate each other and get on the same page. So we'll set up a meeting. I'll talk with Julie about that, what fits into the schedule regarding budget and such. We'll set it up for the department heads and at least three council members. Okay? Appreciate that. We are in your favor. We just have to find the money. Thank you. Sheriff, Brad.
I apologize. I thought I had more copies of these, so we'll have to. This is what we're making hell of, guys. I'm sorry. These, I take one and pass. Okay, if everybody already got one, take one and pass it around. This is one here. Oh, that's the other one. This. And here's two of these. I thought I had more than that, but there were. Before I get started, Sheriff Bradshaw, before I get started, on behalf of all the county employees, and Jim, I understand what you're saying, so I'm not going to get into it, but if you start cutting benefits, they're going to have a harder time filling these positions, and I'll just leave it at that. If we cut benefits, it's going to be even tougher. I can promise you that. And I don't want to get into it, Jim.
Yeah,
I'm just making a statement.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. We'll talk about it later. No, it's not the time.
First, thank you for seeing me again.
Also, thanks to Dave Red, or Dave Redding for coming in and helping with this. The Sheriff's Retention Plan update. You have the money that we've taken in so far to date. The claim form there that, I'm sorry, I didn't have enough of them, that we've got. On the next is what we're proposing. The best way we could come up with it with Dave was make this a stipend to the rest of the, till the end of the year. There's forms there. If everybody has the three-page plan there, that's kind of what I'm asking for. Dave did a great job helping me out on this, and it's pretty self-explanatory there what I'm asking for. The rates on the other page is what I'm asking for on that. Just to update, I got a notice today. Officer Bales, his last day is July 29th. He is going to Marconi County. I don't know this for a fact, but I have heard through the Sheriff's Department grapevine that Austin Schoenfeld has had a contingent offer to Monroe, to go to Monroe County. He is in that process and has done all that. Don't know a date on that yet. So that's where we're at. We lost three dispatchers within the last 2 weeks. One's having a baby, so we didn't really have anything to do with that. Two of them did leave for money. And we had our executive administrator retire. So on the pay raises on the...
Brad, real quick. I saw that executive administrator role, and it wasn't something that was familiar to me. Remind me what that position is and does.
So she assists the matron in all the office duties. She takes in the tax warrants, does the civil process, the commissary funds, makes the daily books for that, just various office duties, which are many office duties.
So as I understand it, it sounds like you're bringing in about $18,750 a month, and you're going to expend $17,500. Is that about right?
That's what I'm asking for in the salaries for the stipend for the rest of the year. Darren had mentioned that they go back to June. If that would be great for my employees, if you do that, I would only ask that for the all the other staff, not the merit officers. If we start this, start the merit officers when this starts, and then we'll go from there with that. But go back to fund that back to June 1st, what Darren suggested. If you do that, just for the inside staff.
I don't know if you want me to say anything. I don't want to steal your thunder, but this is 2024 only. And the last page of this handout shows that the money needed to pay all of the fully burdened dollars to the individuals that per the sheriff's plan, where they come from. It comes from this DOC billing
thing. Yes.
So to the point, where does the money come from? That's what this third page tells you. Okay?
Yes.
It's not incremental additional.
Yeah, Dave, you worked on this as much as I did, so feel free to, okay. You're not stealing any of my thunder.
So let's just stop there. For all of you people that know nothing about finance, when we say fully burdened numbers, that is everything with the roughly 18% number that you hear us say sometimes, which is the unemployment, the FICA, their PERF contributions, all that thing. So these numbers on the third page are fully burdened numbers. This is not the dollar amount that an individual would see in their paycheck, because it's net of all of the other fees that, as an employer, you have to pay for that individual. So
correct.
We're going to talk fully burdened. Let's not waste our time talking about, is it 18%, is it 16%, or whatever. The dollar here is the dollar that we start with, then FICA comes off, Medicare comes off,
correct.
You know, all of the burdens, okay?
Correct.
Again, this is 2024 only, and when I came in to help the sheriff and his team, they're like, what are we going to do about 25 and beyond? And I think that's a bigger item that we need to assemble a group, just like we talked earlier, to talk about what this looks like in 25 and beyond. But this is 2024 only. My opinion, and certainly you guys correct this, is I think the council's action here is wherever these funds are showing up, where they're being received, I think the council needs to...
We haven't any yet.
There's 25,000 somewhere.
It's the state. So yep. It's today on that May thing, I mean, that we don't bill till the end of the month.
Funds.
So
say that again. Hold on one second.
go to the third page.
The state hasn't paid that, though, Julie.
So again, what I think the council's actions here are is to authorize that a new department line, fund line, whatever the proper term is, be created for these monies when they are received to be moved into. Because we need to track this. We need monthly reports on what's come in. And then what's been used to pay this gross amount or fully burdened amount per the stipend schedule that the sheriff has identified. That guarantees us visibility on a monthly basis, transparency to those that want to see the details, where this thing funds what we're doing with the various employees that are getting an incremental stipend for their hours that they work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, clarifying question. This goes back to what we basically agreed to in theory earlier in the year, right, with the jail and increasing the occupancy rate with the jail, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And to isolate this revenue, this new revenue stream that we didn't have before. And what I'm going to propose, because I'm assuming, you know, based off of what I learned from, you know, my conversation with the State Board of County here a couple of months ago, that what we probably ought to do is create a 4,000 series fund. All right. Now, to do that, what has to happen is the commissioners need to draft a ordinance that speaks specifically how this money is to be used. Because my understanding, the agreement was to take this revenue, this I'm going to call it the occupancy rate revenue stream, that comes in, that goes into this new fund, and that money is used specifically to subsidize the wages with the employees within the law enforcement center, correct? That's what we're talking about?
I wouldn't use the term subsidize. I think we said for 2024 we would use the term stipend.
Well, here's my question. What happens in the event, because originally, and all I'm doing, Brad, is just trying to play devil's advocate here for a moment to think it through before we start making irrevocable decisions that we have to live with down the road. Is originally that concept, we were going to go to Monroe, and for whatever reason it didn't work out. What happens, council, if that revenue stream, this new revenue stream that we've created, and we forecasted that we anticipate we're going to see these revenue flows, and I'm assuming these revenue flows are coming from Bartholomew County, correct?
Currently, yes, it's not coming from Bartholomew County, it comes from the state.
Right, but the inmates are coming from Bartholomew County, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so that if that revenue stream is disrupted, and let's say drops 50%, or
the stipends get cut. So that's the whole reason.
Okay, so these are so what we're talking about doing is taking this revenue source, putting in a special fund,
protecting it from being spent on something.
Anything else, right.
Yes. Right. Those are my words.
Right.
Afraid to say it.
No, I'm not, because we have statutory funds and non-statutory.
Yeah, so his stipends would not be allowed. Stipends net, or if you look, there's an expense line there. I don't know if you call it cost of goods sold, but his costs are going up on us, particularly food and that type of thing. And that's what the 3K is.
Yes.
This is just pro forma.
Right.
When the account is empty, we can't, you know, the stipends are put on hold or derated to what's available.
Okay. So we create a non-statutory fund. The commissioners have the responsibility of creating the ordinance that speaks specifically to how those receipts are to be used. And then what I heard you say is that as that revenue flows in, this increase in wages for the law enforcement center is in the form of a stipend
for 2024.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens then in theory is if
that revenue stream decreases, then it puts the pressure on the law enforcement center to proactively to try to continue to get and make sure that revenue continues to come in.
Not had oil.
Yeah, well, my concern was, Brad, was that you put this in place, all right, and you increase the wages, and then all of a sudden the revenue stream goes away, and then the county's sitting over here having to figure out how we're going to pick up the tab.
I want to have an absolute crap show on my hands in my office.
Yeah, right, so there's, okay. So,
which is why we need a different solution for 2025.
But this would be a good fix for 24.
It's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, it's a bunch.
We need a more efficient way of doing this going forward.
Right, I would recommend that what we do is...
One of the things, yes, the stipend thing and what we came up with is that fund, and Dave came up with this, it's a retention fund is what we want to be put in at.
Okay.
Called DOC Retention Fund. And that helps us try to keep some people here. I mean, I'm serious. We ended up with two applicants over 6 months that showed up for testing for our road positions. That's how low our pay is that people are looking at us. So, you know, I talked to Chris Lane, a good friend of mine who's stealing one of my guys. I call him Poacher. When I talked to him, they had a lateral position that they had 26 applicants for two positions. 26. So that's the difference when you have the money. You look at it, and that was laterals. That's qualified, certified officers that are trying to go to Northumberland County from elsewhere. That's already working as an officer. So that's our struggle. It is a real struggle trying to get good qualified applicants. When we have dispatch positions, we end up with maybe one or two, and that's it. I mean, we're not getting. I got my sixth application today for the executive administrator.
I think it's also fair, because you're not going to say this about yourself, but for those that are unfamiliar with what we're doing here, working with you, the sheriff came several months ago and said, hey, if I can go create a new source of revenue, which was this housing, they're not felons.
Because they are felons.
Okay. That could he use those monies to help create a program to retain people. We all voted unanimously that we're in full support of that if the sheriff delivered. He's delivered. I don't know about the logistics of why money's not been paid or received. Because it's been invoiced.
It'll get here just low.
Yeah, but that's not his issue. There's a different office that takes care of the bookkeeping and that. But you're not going to say this about yourself, but the sheriff came through for his team. So we've got this revenue source. Page 3 shows you about what we think it's going to look like, net its costs. And I think we need to make sure that we put in your 4,000 fund idea, whatever the right thing is. That's great.
I'm just quoting what the state board of accounts told me.
And then that should be able to allow us to run a report each month to see what the highly technical term here, gazendas and gazaltas were. And then I think the matron will be giving us what's being invoiced going forward. So we should have this thing pinned down for the balance of 2024.
Yeah, and the other thing, Dave, is that we, and I don't know if this would have been March, April, what time frame, but we as a body, and you were there, agreed to move in this direction.
Yes.
Did we not?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm going to advocate for is that let's sit down and let's get this typed up, okay, on a one-page document that spells it out specifically so that we're all crystal clear on step one, step two, step three, step four, so that we're all on the same page and we can get that done and get it implemented for 2024. But it needs to be, let's be very thorough and dot all our I's across all our T's and make sure there's...
Who do you think's going to do that, Jim? Is that something more you need me to help with? Or?
Well, I mean...
I had an action item. I think I filled through it for the first
part. Yeah, I guess all I'm asking us to do is just be very... Let's pay attention to detail. Let's cross all the T's, dot all the I's, get a one-page document. We pretty much... I did a summary right now, right? Right, I mean, we've kind of summarized it, because what we agreed to...
I'm not disagreeing, but Jeff, who needs to do that?
Yeah, who and when?
Well, you can do it, Brad, well, who, three of us can do it, four of us can do it, I don't know, let's just sit down and get it done.
I don't mean to be rude about this, Jim, but I've got people that are watching this closely, and it's like we just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I'm not trying to be rude, I understand that this needs to be, but I mean, I don't know how much more we can document this, or how much, I mean, I've got inmates coming in, I can show you them, I have the numbers right here.
Okay, Brad, what I'm advocating for is the agreement is a stipend for specific employees within the law enforcement center. The money is supposed to come out of whatever you want to call this revenue stream. You know, I don't know what the name for the revenue stream is. We don't have a fund in the auditor's office, as the state reimburses us, set up and established that speaks specifically to how this money is to be used. There is literally no written documentation anywhere of what we're doing. Okay? You know, and maybe that might be part of the reason that we as a county historically today are in the situation we're in, because we've done a poor job and there's a lot of room for improvement. And paying attention to the details and making sure we're very crystal clear on what it is we're doing so that there's no misunderstanding going forward. And if we can do that and get a date and sit down and get it done, you know, we get, I mean, I think I can, you know, Dave, when do you have time to do it?
I'll go home and do it tonight, because this is Brad's losing people.
He's okay, we'll get it done. Let's put it in writing.
Say we have it by Wednesday.
Well, Brad's not the only one losing people.
Yeah.
We got a lot of people, and I guess I'm not an accountant, okay? But we have, I don't know where the revenues come from, but we have money that comes in. And obviously, where's it going?
$10 million of it's going out in labor costs and employee benefits.
Where's the rest of it going?
Is there any option of having it by Wednesday?
Depends on their point, I think.
I mean, I'll cancel my conference. I'm literally packing and leaving tonight for a sheriff's conference till Thursday morning. But
is the 24th going to be a public meeting? I think we're going to be there. All of us will be there.
Form ones?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be a public meeting.
Can we do it then?
So there are two things that need to happen. One, the council establishes what's called a non-reverting fund, right? So the revenues that are coming in from DOC holds that the sheriff is billing for drops into a fund that continues to collect the balance at the end of the year. If that money left in that fund does not revert to the general fund for you to move to other purposes, right?
That's correct.
So step one is...
4,000 series fund is what I understand.
Could be. That's an
state board account.
Yep. Yes. Okay. So,
it is.
Step one is a non-reverting fund. Right, where so far what I've heard you say is that the uses of the fund will be salaries, payroll, benefits, taxes as a result of this DOC work, is what I have heard.
And if that
involves uniforms or equipment, then we need to put that in there as well. If the employees need additional uniforms or equipment in order to do the DOC work, like, we can put that in there. So that's step one. Step two would be what I think is a salary ordinance amendment to add a separate section under each of these positions that give these raises that he describes here, although we need a little more description up here at the top of the jail officers and dispatchers, that gives a per hour rate for DOC work along with, you know, obviously the perk and the taxes. So the salary ordinance amendment would be they're already continuing to get their rate for the work that they do. If they continue to do this DOC work, they're going to get an additional rate on top of their base rate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, can we say not to exceed amount? Can we make that a not to exceed amount?
On these pay raises that
on
we just
number two action item.
So if these funds don't come in before this takes effect, how are we paying for it?
Yeah, we'll cross that in a second. So number two, the not to exceed.
The not to.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of.
You understand why I'm asking that question?
I do understand why you're asking it. I find it difficult to answer. I'm going to say that.
Okay. Right.
And I may have to think through this just a little bit. I mean,
hold
the point.
On. While you're thinking about Dave, I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah. So.
I'm not sure I understand.
But hang on a minute, Scott. That's Susan.
Yeah. So these are hourly employees, except for the sheriff. The sheriff's not an hourly, you're a salary, right? You're chief deputy, matron, and merit deputies. They're all.
But they still figure it on a hour basis.
Okay.
Through payroll.
Okay. Right. So we've got kind of two categories of work that if we see the DOC non-reverting fund dwindling or not coming in, we suspend the pay rate for the DOC work. So there would be a suspension of that rate added to their next payroll. So they're still going to get paid for their 40 hours or 48 hours, or right? I mean, dispatchers, or are they on 12-hour shifts? Are your officers on 12-hour shifts?
Officers, like, and regular,
right?
Hours.
I mean, they don't get paid a straight 40-hour work week, right? They're different than everybody else. And you have holiday pay in there as well, right? You got to think of all these things. But so you can suspend the rate of pay for the DOC work if they're not holding as many DOC officer or inmates that requires that work.
And that's done by vote by us, the suspension?
Mm-hmm. It would be.
All right. And then to Julie's question, the sheriff's office isn't responsible for collecting
invoicing. Right, so the state's on the July 1 to June 3 year, like typically they're going to send you about 4 payments a year. Like they're not going to send you a payment every month, they just don't do it. And they're going to catch up right before or right after the fiscal year starts because they want to look good at the end of June 30 and then they'll pay out a whole bunch in July, right? Which is how the state works. So it could be like kind of like one of your grant funds that sometimes runs in the red, but you know that money's going to be coming in. So this, it could potentially be a fund that runs in the red until the state comes out and pays up a bunch of your bills all at one time and then catches back up, sort of thing.
But
you have to have
on that, we would know what we've billed.
Yeah.
And we would know how much
report every month.
We have billed. But we would have that report.
So this is one of my questions to check in and work on and draft up with Brad and Dave.
I can certainly the non-reverting fund, that's an ordinance that you guys passed that we could have ready for Wednesday. I could get it ready for you for Wednesday, a non-reverting fund. The salary ordinance would be working with the HR department and making sure that we get it in the correct position on the salary ordinance with Julie's office then. I don't know that can happen by Wednesday, but maybe it can happen by the 24th if we're lucky.
But you're the one of all of us that have the skill sets necessary to be able to make sure we're squeaky clean on this, right? Is that fair?
I think you have people here who can do it. I think we just have to make sure we get our steps in the right order and get the things established that the sheriff needs in order to collect that money together.
So who when? Who does it when?
Yeah, so I'm going to have a non-reverting fund for you for Wednesday.
Okay.
Right, so that any payments that come in
based on... Salary ordinance is separate, maybe by the 24th,
salary ordinance
you're saying?
Is separate and hopefully by the 24th.
Now, the State Board of Accounts said that when you set up a non-statutory fund, right, and then this fund would be created under a 4000 series, because it's kind of a user fund, and then that the commissioners know that they were the ones that were responsible for passing the ordinance, the language that speaks specifically to how...
To the uses?
Yeah, that's what they were helping. Because we got another issue that this was involved with as well. We got in this conversation with State Board of Accounts.
That's not been my experience, and my auditor's never been written up.
Okay. Well, I just thought the state of the accounts.
Yeah.
You guys have probably talked about it. I know you have.
Right.
Yeah.
So we all good for Wednesday and then the 24th at this point? Sound good, Brad?
Let's be backing.
Sorry.
And.
Recording in progress.
Okay. So are we going to do this? So do we need to make a decision that we're going to do this? And somebody make a motion, I'm going to make a second. And then
I mean, unless you all tell me differently, I've got my marching orders to get a non-reverting fund ready and to work and get the salary ordinance.
So we're going to have a motion and then I'll have a second, shouldn't it? So
yeah.
We make a decision that we're going to do this. This is done.
You'll have things presented for you to approve.
Right, but tonight, so when Brad leaves, he can tell everybody that...
Yeah, so I think the other question was, are you backdating any of this?
Right.
Yeah, well, we probably could backdate it, right?
But that's Julie's point, we don't have the cash yet, so if we don't have the cash yet, then we're going to have to cover it already.
How am I going to... Right, yeah.
Steal it out of the treasurer's office.
Ready? That's your issue, yes, Dave.
So that with the...
Cash flow?
Right.
Here's another question about backdating it. If we have deputies leave between now and the time of this, are they walking away from this? Okay. Because I don't want to back pay somebody retention money for them to just go anyway when we can use that for deputies who are going to stay.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm not.
Is there any potential that this will have an effect on two deputies right now who are considering leaving?
I've talked quite a bit with Austin, and he's watching this, and I don't know if it's going to be, even if this was passed tonight, I still don't know if it's quite enough at the moment, but that's all I could ask for with what we're making. And at the first of the year, but I mean, he has a stay-at-home mom with two little babies, and we're not paying enough.
Now, have we, Dave, has this been divided equally among all employees, like everybody gets the same percentage?
Well, that's a good point. What we're saying is, as a council, we create the funds, we do the appropriation, and then we look to elected official as to how he feels it should be proportioned to his team. And then we approve that through the salary ordinance. So I think that's where I would suggest we stop. If you want to get down and look at what each number he gives for each individual, I don't know if that's within our authority or not, but I'm suggesting we not do that because he's an elected official and he's accountable for what he does from that capacity. But you could certainly, you know, you'll see the individual numbers by individual when we get to approving the salary ordinance revision.
The other thing I'm kind of thinking of, if this is, I mean, we're doing this to pay, you know, to pay.
We're doing this to try to keep people. Yeah.
And we're doing this to try to keep people. So,
And recruit.
So what I'm asking or thinking is if we weigh this a little bit heavier toward five-year officers, three-year officers, instead of first year officer, you know, if we our first year deputy, we don't, it, you know what I'm saying? If we weigh it more toward second,
if this
third,
is approved, what we're trying to do, and I got a form here, so the way our merit salary ordinance is set up now, if I find it there. Is I was going to change it. A deputy makes 33% of the prosecutor's salary right now. I was going to bump that all up 2 points for each other than myself to just a point and a half on myself. But leave the probationary officer at the 33% right now. And then a one-year deputy with the academy and everything like that, once they've reached merit status, not if they stay probationary, if I extend probation or anything like that, then they go to the 35% of the prosecutor's salary on our pay matrix that we have set up right now. So there is, we're trying to write that gap in there where there is a starting officer gap in the first year. And then after they complete their first year and have all their training, their academy training in, they would go to 35%. The sergeant would be 37. Lieutenant 39, Captain 40.
Okay, so are we comfortable
with
Brad?
Yeah, I wasn't trying to write your, you know, micromanage or anything like that.
But we did bring that in because that does help, and that even with recruitment, it helps a little bit. Say, well, you start at this, but after your first year's completion, you go to this.
Yeah, I mean, Brad knows where to be proportionate to get the people he needs.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? We'll go along. All right. We'll deal with this on Wednesday, then the next step of it. Appreciate it, Jeff.
I don't know what Wednesday is, but...
You don't need to be there, I think we'll...
No, you don't need to be there.
Okay.
Susan, so I don't have an action item tonight?
No.
Sounds like you got it?
Okay.
If you do need my help, I'm here on my first. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So can I point something out here?
Yes.
There's going to be an awful lot of extra work in my office because of all this. And I'm down two people.
By Wednesday, you mean?
So...
Or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, we understand that. We've already specified that's an issue. Plenty of time and you're short. So do what you can and be realistic. Okay, Mark Williams. Mark, do you know how much time this is going to take? We're running a little long. I'm not trying to cut you short, though.
Be very brief.
Good. Very nice to see you, Mr. Williams.
Nice to see you, John. I represent Mainstream Fiber Networks. As you know, Mainstream is headquartered here in the county. And installs high-speed broadband internet. On March 21st, 2018, the county commissioners approved an infrastructure development zone for broadband to incentivize broadband in the county. It ran for three years, March 21, 2018, through March 20th, 2021. The ordinance provided that such eligible projects were to be approved by the Brown County Council. My client, Mainstream, did what they thought they needed to do, and between March 21, 2018 and March 20th, 2021, installed 88 miles of eligible broadband tangible personal property in Brown County, amounting to an investment of $1,864,460. As I was going to make sure all my files were complete, I went through the records in the recorder's office and in the auditor's office, and I found that, in fact, there is no documentation of the county council taking an action with respect to Mainstream Fiber Networks. So what I request is, and in my submission that I made in advance, I request that for the avoidance of doubt that the council move and second a resolution to approve the work that Mainstream did from March 21, 2018 through March 20, 2021, which would make that work subject to the exemption of the infrastructure development zone.
So that gives them favor in the state? Is that the issue?
It would make the eligible infrastructure that they installed during that time exempt from personal property tax.
Okay, because we as the governing board would approve.
Yeah,
any negative implications to us?
Pardon me?
Any potential negative implications for us?
There's no negative implications. It certainly would make the extension of those lines more attractive to Mainstream.
All of this was originally done and talked about when this was being talked about and they had approval of council, but what he's saying is we never took a
formal action.
And I submitted a suggested action in my materials. Do you have a copy of that?
Let's see.
May I approach?
Yeah.
I'm an attorney that's aware that I'm approaching a public body and the sheriff is behind me.
He laughed.
Well, he's really good because I can still feel him.
Well, right. Do you have this, Susan?
She's looking at my copy right now.
It's got an ordinance number 321-2018-004, but it was never signed apparently. Is that the case?
The ordinance was signed. This was for the commission. The ordinance is in great shape. It just provided that on the projects that were implemented, that they required the approval of the county council. But for whatever reason, the formal approval hasn't been documented.
So the approval would take the form of what, an ordinance, Susan? Go ahead and take your time.
Right. I mean, essentially, it's asking for an abatement so that they don't get taxed on the business personal property of the fiber that's in the ground.
That's right. That's right. That's what the industrial or the infrastructure development zone is. And I think the ordinance, as I read the ordinance, the only thing that's required of the council is the approval of the project. And Mainstream thought they done everything they needed to do to satisfy the council. I'm sure they did, but for whatever reason, the paperwork didn't get done.
The new abatements on real or personal property are approved by ordinance by the county council, and then they're provided to the assessor, and then they're provided to the state. I mean, so it would have to be done by ordinance.
No, ma'am, I disagree. This is an industrial infrastructure development zone. It's not an abatement. It is approved only by the county commissioners. They have sole authority in this area. But they also have authority to do other things. And in this case, as you can see on the last page, they requested that the county council approve the projects. In my judgment, to make the county council aware that these projects were going on. Abatement is a different set of statutes.
It still says takes approval by the county council.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know what a prior council has done.
From my judgment, that Mainstream thought that it had been approved, but it was not documented. The approval was not documented.
And you're just seeking the document.
I'm just seeking an action by the county council to say, yeah, you're covered by the infrastructure development zone, and Mainstream will still have to file tangible personal property tax returns, and only that time period is subject to the exemption, which is the 3-year period.
So this was something that took effect 6 years ago, correct? Okay. Mr. President?
Yes.
I've received this by email. I've not had any time to do any kind of discovery on it. And furthermore, I don't think I have the intellectual capacity to do a discovery on it because it's above and beyond my pay grade. So what I would suggest that we do is if Susan would agree to work with Mark and take some time for the two of them to talk and discuss it, and then she can come up with a recommendation of what she feels is in the best interest of the county and how we need to proceed going forward. Because to be honest with you, I can read through this, but whether or not I'll comprehend it, don't know.
Is that acceptable to you, Susan, or sound like a viable approach?
Certainly, yeah, and I believe Mr. Williams has, looking for his email, right there at the bottom. Yep.
Mark, so you good with that?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Is there a deadline on this that you're looking at, or this just needs to happen before?
Well, there's not a deadline I'm looking for, but I think it's fair to say that if we don't get if the Mainstream doesn't get favorable action from this, it would affect the choice of future projects.
Right. Okay. I'm just saying, I was just asking if there's, I mean, I would like to get this done as soon as possible.
Yeah.
If it's 2 or 3 months, is that going to cause hardship?
I hope it doesn't take 2 or 3 months.
Well, that's why, I mean, that was a hypothetical, but I'm saying I said, I just want to get this done as soon as possible.
Yeah, the statutes are very simple. There's about 6 statutes in a row, and it's pretty cut and dry.
Okay, thank you. From a personal perspective, I want to thank Greenstream for bringing my household into the 21st century. Thank you.
I'm waiting for that day.
Yes, I'm waiting also.
Talk to him.
It's a different world now.
Good. All right, the health department, Dr. Ostray.
Evening. The health department has the same issue. Good news, bad news, total chaos. The thing that we were invited here for this evening is our position of an administrator for the health department. And the good news is we found a candidate and hired one. But she needs training, so the proposal or the request is to provide some funds for our old administrator to be a trainer for the new. And we hypothesized that would be come out of the attrition funds. The rate is less than between $20 and $21 an hour. Can't quite read my writing. And it would require basically 20 to 40 hours a week, dependent upon the circumstance. And our new hire will be off a couple of weeks in October, start July 29th. And she will need guidance and help at budget time, report time, those times. And that's my first request.
Any idea how long?
I'd say about 6 or 7 months.
6 or 7 months?
Yes.
Yes. And then it's full time?
No, 20 to 40 hours a week. It just depends on our annual report.
We estimate the cost? Any idea?
It's $20.36
an hour. Okay, times 20 to 40
hours a week. Won't exceed that.
30 hours a week, 6 months maybe?
And average that out.
Okay, so we're doing the math.
I mean, some weeks it could be 20.
Save us. It's going to be a little more than $600 a week for 6 months.
Okay. I want to add that's not a job that can be learned in just 30 days. It's a tough job.
Is that your old job?
It's my old job.
And it's a
difficult
job. That's the problem. You can't teach him to do something that isn't being required now. We have all the grants, and folks know how difficult the grants are, but we've been successful at gaining lots of grants for the county and providing lots of services through those grants. But the basic problem with the health department is we're all old, and we're going to generation change. And having lots of health issues in the department. So Judy retired less than a month ago, and we had spent a year training a new person, and she found it too stressful and too anxiety provoking and left already. And still has a job in the county, but left our department. So we're left high and dry with that issue. And the second issue that's coming is our environmental health positions. All of our folks are in their 70s, and lots of health issues, and we're down to one person in business time, and we have tried to hire someone. And it's the same story you've heard before. We are not even close to being competitive. We've had a couple of applicants, but when they found what the salaries were, they didn't show up for any kinds of interviews. And one wanted $30 an hour, and the other wanted $60,000 a year. And if you do the math, that's identical. And we just can't find anybody. So we've got one fellow who's still working, carrying his oxygen, doing the work of three people who need surgery. Or we're not going to be able to do the job. It's that simple. We have not found any other help any place. And the current salaries of our folks, our environmental health folks, are $20 an hour. The supervisor is $22 an hour, which comes out to $42,000 a year. And these are as well-trained as bright folks as you'll ever find. They just happen to have aged. And there's just no other work out there. So we have to figure out how we're going to do the job. And I don't consider this confrontational. I don't consider your guys' problems of finding money are certainly serious, but I don't have a problem with a solution for that either. I'm just trying to do what you folks charge us with, which is providing proper help to the county. So,
Judy?
I have a question. And it's not even a question. It's kind of a thought. I know you got the Health First money. I know that that's all governed by state rules and regulations. I guess I have a question. Does the health officers still have their organization that meets a few times a year? Because they used to be a really powerful voice. The reason I'm asking that is I know that the Health First money has strict guidelines. I think it was Taylor that said it was like 60% has to be spent in nursing, 40% has to be spent in environmental health, so much has to be spent on educational kinds of things, so much can be spent on salaries. It sounds like to me that the Health Officers Association, the Office of Managers Administration, so that used to meet, do they still meet, Judy, do you know? They need to be pounding legislature and the government, the governor, and saying, we have some small counties out here that need help. And you need to loosen up. I mean, while, helmets are great, biking helmets are great for, that kind of thing, and purchasing them, wonderful. But there also are other organizations that provide that. It's wonderful to have car seats, but there's also organizations that provide that. They need to be loosening up on how this money, if they really are serious about public health, which they say they are, by spending this money, then they need to loosen up on this money. And I think that the health officers and the Office Managers Association needs to be pounding the governor and the legislators and saying, you have got to loosen up on this money, because if not, how are we going to be doing our jobs? And I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying somebody needs to do something, because they're making it more difficult on you guys to do the jobs that they are mandating you to do with no money.
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
The fact of the matter, I've been pounding on the legislature since I've been here, which I agreed to take this job 11 years ago for 1 year, and I'm still here.
I know, I worked for you.
That they needed to develop some kind of a program like the legal system with the salaries for health officers and people being dictated by or subsidized by the government, the state. And I think that this Health First Indiana is actually an attempt at that to try to provide more funds. And they are, but in the process, they're requiring more work.
Mm-hmm. More personnel.
And that requires more personnel.
and we haven't gotten through, and we have monthly meetings. It's how are we doing? Are we meeting these standards? And the council may or may not know, but if in my tenure here, I have been approached by the state wanting funds returned because we weren't producing what we were supposed to do. So they have some clout about that too. So we are being charged with things that the county has never done that we're required to do, which requires more people. And this year we've gotten a certain amount of funds that are going to increase significantly next year if we're still here.
Question is if it's I know it's going to double next year, basically, will that alleviate some of these problems? Like allow you to pay more.
So here's a concern. There's no guarantee that we're going to be getting this money from the state every year.
It's guaranteed for 2025.
Right.
But from what Taylor told me is that they've got your hands tied, basically, on how you can use it.
Right.
It's the 60-40 thing, and you have to use so much on
mosquito control.
Mosquito control, you know, education and those kinds of things. Yeah. But not any more to go towards, like, personnel.
It's
my understanding.
Well, what can we do towards this? You need $15,000 to $16,000, it looks like, for training for the tuition fund.
Health administrator.
Yeah, right.
I
and
also
then somehow to look at raising the rates to attract personnel, correct?
That's it. And then we need another position.
This year?
Well, we are on the fringe of having no one.
Yeah.
And our guy is working his heart out. He really is. I am concerned about him every day, physically, because he doesn't take care of himself because he's serving the county.
So the implications would be we shut down septic inspections and building stops, things of that nature, right?
Right.
Judy, what kind of fees structure increases could we implement to help bring in more revenue?
Well, that's through the commissioners, and I think it was just a couple of years ago that you all raised your permit fees and those types of things, and you have to do that within certain guidelines that say it takes this amount of time and this is the cost involved to do it and that kind of thing. I mean, you just can't say, okay, we're going to arbitrarily just raise it from, I don't even know what the fees are now, from, let's just say, $250 to $500 because this is the money we need. It was kind of like a formula.
Well, it's easy for us to make the case that our employee cost would nearly double, fully burdened. So.
Yeah, but it would be up to the commissioners and the health board and then to actually pass the ordinances to go up.
And we collect about $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
We had hoped that we would gain income and enforcing ordinances and that sort of thing, but that didn't happen.
Right.
We are a non-criminal enterprise, so if we want to find someone for dumping sewage on the street, we have to go to court to get it. Costs more to go to court than you could ever get because the fines are limited by the statutes other than our statutes.
So it sounds like if we ask the commissioners to increase the $80,000 number that you shared to cover this $15,000,
I would think it would be the health board we need to ask, and we could ask as well, and then the commissioners would need to pass those.
Yeah, my concern with that is that we're taxing our residents. Trying to build homes and making that more difficult.
Oh, I get all that. Yeah.
So the suggestion is to raise our fees to pay for me to train our new employees?
I guess it sounds like a suggestion, but what I'm saying is, just like with the sheriff, he found a revenue source. Are there other revenue sources other than the one that we're talking about as an example where you could raise whatever, in order to cover these incremental costs that you're experiencing?
We diligently worked on that sort of thing. We now collect a significant revenue from giving our shots, which are free to all our residents and people, but we bill their insurance and accept insurance. So everyone who comes in gets their flu shot or COVID shot or whatever, we get significant funds from that.
So, Judy, I think your point is, if there's not an incremental revenue source that we can identify, then we've got to go take the $15,000 from someone else to give it.
From the attrition? I believe there's like $150,000 in the attrition fund. But why do you laugh at that?
Because when we created that, it was claimed by numerous people. Yeah. And the intent was not that. So yeah, I think we should have anticipated that everybody was going to go claim that money, the long list of people, because if we'd known that, we would have never done that 150 set aside anyway. So, but it is a possibility. I don't know that we've appropriated any of that money. So I'm not laughing at the suggestion. I just think it was, when I suggested that over a year ago, it was stupid of me to do that.
We should have just ended consequences.
We should have just done the 150. Well, the idea was that once you put the budget in place, this body has no money there. I don't know if I should use this term, but the idea was to have some discretionary thing that when we were really up against it, that you would have that. And it was silly to do that. And we should have just went line to line, 0-0, you know, numbers, and appropriated that. Put that $150,000 to work in the nominal budget that was passed. So I'm not laughing at the idea. Don't take it that way. It was more of a distraction or a rabbit hole. You know, in hindsight, and we should have just put it forward.
Well, that's our dilemma.
You know, I'm thinking about that dilemma, and you know, the immediate. We're in building season right now, and septics are essential. Get a building permit. And you know, when I was at the plan commission, we'd lose a person and we were able to backfill the consultant, you know, a staff person from an adjacent county kind of on loan, but they were paid or privately, you know. And so I don't know if you've explored that as just an immediate, because what I don't want to see is this, and I think the council talked about this a couple months ago, and we strongly encouraged you to solve this problem within your budget means. I think you being here means you don't have that money. And so my concern is an immediate kind of pressure valve release for that really critical piece. We need housing, right? And so I don't want to see that delayed 30 days more. I don't know what's happening, but have you thought about a stopgap measure?
There are at least one retired person who had this job at another county and promoted to the state level, who's now retired, is willing to go out on the site to finish a job or two, but not willing to really fill in.
And then so, where would that money come from to pay that person?
If you, are you, and I guess that's my other question, is, you know, and don't want to get into employee issues, but have people vacated either of these positions? No. So they're here, but unable to be here, or they're at least
not able to function,
but they're not able to fulfill a role. So this
illness,
yeah, and that happens anywhere. You have no contingency funds within the health department to deal with that.
I've got one question here, totally unrelated. We've got the 1159 that you guys. Is the fund that we use to cash flow that health department.
Right.
And now you have the new revenue coming in on the 1160.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. How much did you all take receipt of in 2023 in the 1160? Do you know off the top of your head, off the top of mine?
We received funds for 2024, so we're working on those now.
Okay. Is it true, did the board for the health department make a decision to give all the employees of the health department a bonus, year-end bonus for 2023 out of that 1160 fund?
Right, they were given a stipend because they
because of all the new responsibilities the state is having.
Okay, and what was that stipend amount?
I want to say, I'm not sure. It's been a few months, but I want to say $4,100.
Okay. So these, now, do you expect the board to do the same thing then for 2024?
For 2025?
Excuse me, for 2025, yeah.
I think that the budget that was submitted, there are stipends in there, and I think we are like maybe $1,200 a piece.
Okay. And then lastly, I'll finish up with this. And of the 1160, the revenue that comes in on the 1160, what percentage of that revenue can you be used for labor cost?
We could use, there's a 60%, 40%, but here's the concern here is if we start paying labor out of the 1160 fund and it goes away, depending on who's the new governor, it just doesn't work.
Okay. Well, then here's a follow-up with that. So at the core, there's some concern within the health department that this new revenue source from the Indiana Department of Health may not be sustainable or may not continue in the future. So that's in question, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then do you just curious, where did the state of Indiana, did they get the money from the federal government? Did it come in from the federal and then go to the Indiana Department of Health? And then from there, they decided to allocate it out to the 92 counties. Is that what they did?
They raised cigarette taxes, alcohol taxes.
I knew there was a reason I stopped drinking, but,
it's a big part of the revenue from that.
Okay. So it's internal state tax revenue then that's going to the health department. Okay. And one final, and I'm done. Then I've got you. Why is it, I'm just curious, this has nothing to do with the reason you're here, and I apologize for that. Why is it that we have a health department, okay, but mental health is not tucked inside or underneath that umbrella?
And I agree with you 110% on that, but the state is not requiring
it. It doesn't make any sense.
We used to do home health care too, and the state took it out and gave it to the home health care division. When I first came here, if you got out of the hospital, our nurses went out and checked your blood pressure, your wound.
Really?
But they took that away. They took away a lot of the elder things and put it into other organizations. And so what we're charged with is a concept that's a little bit hard for me to grasp when I first came here, is we do public health. And so I can't treat your blood pressure or his blood pressure, but we can have clinics for everybody that has blood pressure. We can worry about infectious disease, that if you get infected and you're going to spread everybody else, then that's public health. But if you have your own cold, you go to your own doctor. You don't come to the health department because it's public health. It's not individual health. And so there's obvious overlap. But the state has, they mandate that stuff. And they take it away and give it back. We're doing a lot more with the school. For a long time, the school had their own people. And I can tell you that the health department is involved in mental health and other things, in our nurses being involved in the organizations and the, I guess they call them the partners in the county and work with it. There's a lot of that that goes on. The other thing that Grant County does not have is a hospital, and so you'll hear a lot in the next few weeks about county health fair needs assessments. Those are all mandated by federal and state law for hospitals. They pay full-time directors full salaries to generate what the county needs and what part can the hospital do and what part can the other person do. So we actually have some of those done by PhD candidates, but we don't have any resources to implement. So we do things trying to implement a
revenue stream, just to give you an example, but more importantly, a health stream. They're trying to get a grant together. Let me back up a little bit. When I came here, we had two EMTs for the county, and we've been able to get funding and set up the EMT Training Institute through the health department, and we now have fully trained EMTs for every township, and they're certified. So now the idea has come up, maybe we should send these EMTs out. I mean, they just go a little bit more training, they become physician assistants to help with this baby crisis and maternal care in the county, and they're trained to do that. So they go out in the ambulance and they can help the elderly person or the new mother or the other things. And so we're trying to get a grant for that. And it comes back to this, to government regulations and not having a hospital. So we're trying to find ways to do that. There are folks in the county that want to do the community health needs assessment and then implement all of it. Well, we don't have any manpower for that. We can hardly get through the day, but we do have enough manpower through the EMTs. And then if they get that approved, then we can have grants from the CDC to implement all that. And we work on that kind of stuff, trying to incrementally increase what it is that we can provide the county with its limited resources. And I think that those are great ideas. It's hard to get them funded and get that kind of thing done. And we have to do it all through grants.
Appreciate that.
But if we ever get the EMT thing going, that's a revenue stream.
You know, that community health needs assessment is something I've heard about, and I did hear we were strapped for staff capacity to enact that, but that if we did find a way to enact it, there would be apparently a significant revenue stream that would be opened up.
The only thing that I know is that we believe we can get the grants to train the people to do that kind of work, which would be covered by insurance. But when you do a health needs assessment, it's how many smokers do you have, and how many hospital beds do you need, and how many doctors do you need to treat the hypertensives or the pulmonary patients or the diabetics or all that kind of stuff. And we can't do that kind of stuff.
Can we, you know, we have a new grant administrator, and we have a foundation that's been more and more active with financing certain things that our county needs. And so, that sounds important, right? And I understand you're saying that it's currently challenging to navigate. But I think it's maybe even more challenging to not have those resources, right? As you're describing today, right? We're in a tough spot. And so we may, I'd like to think there's a partnership where we could make something like that needs assessment happen. It wouldn't have to happen in your house, right, in-house, but if we could pay, you know, a consultant $50,000, whatever it is, to help us complete that and open up significant funding streams, you know, I'd like to think we could put that together. And so
if they could do that, more power to them. What I need a community health needs assessment for is to do this EMT project, which is a very modest project in the overall scheme of what those programs do. I mean, we've got a community health needs assessment done by the PhD, but there's nothing we can do about all those needs, not as a health department.
Okay, we're not going to be able to solve all these tonight. We've got two things on the table. One is your immediate training need, which we can possibly get out of the attrition fund. I'm willing to entertain a motion for that, and then we'll try to work on the second one.
Yeah, I would like to motion that we consider funding this train request out of that, whatever that line is that we put the $150,000 in.
I'll second.
Okay, any other discussion on that?
What was the amount?
It's probably about $15,000 to $16,000 estimated for the rest of the year.
Is it 15 to get started?
Yeah.
So we'll do 15 to get started. Okay. All right. Fund's going to go quick now.
Yeah. And motioned and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passed.
Thank you.
Now the next item is, can we think about this and try and work on it for the next time? Don't want to have you to have to come down again for another meeting in a month or so.
I like FaceTime. I don't like that camera stuff. I can read your face better.
You don't mind that? One way or the other, let's try and work on it for the next month. Does that sound reasonable?
Try to work on what exactly?
This is your supplementing your people out there. If you can find somebody in between, we'll try and work on it.
So here's the thing. If we hire a new environmental health specialist, let's just say it's $60,000.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. And that's what
I mean, it's realistically, we faced that somewhat with IT when we switched.
Right. We got three applications for it. And like Dr. Ostrak said, one didn't even bother. They're both asking $60,000.
Are these potential full-time people or just interim?
They were full-time.
Okay.
But then, we need to be cautious, too, because we don't want to hire this person that, let's just say $60,000, and then you've got John and Ernie and Jen, who are making $40,000. We need to be fair
and
consistent across the board.
Why don't you guys figure that out and tell us how to do it?
Hey, can I suggest maybe something?
I can tell you that the felony salaries go from 61 to 69,000.
That's Bartholomew County.
Say that again, I'm sorry. What was that salary range again?
61 to 69.
Okay. Could I, my only concern with waiting a month is that, we're in building season. When does septic installation season end?
It really depends on the weather. I mean, we can go late in September or October.
Okay, so we said October, August, September, that's 3 months, and what I don't want to lose, and we've got a realtor or two out in the audience, if we lose the ability to get in the septic for the rest of this building season, that's kind of a problem, right?
It's a big problem.
It's a big problem.
Now, we have this person who's willing to work by the hour to finish off a project or two, but we don't have money to pay him either.
Nothing.
Couldn't he come out of the attrition fund?
But that would be up to you.
How much would the estimate be, It's for the season, rest of the season, a couple months?
3 months.
And he's not full-time by any means, I presume?
Right, $30 an hour, but then that's not fair for the other three environmentalists.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it fair to the public to not be able to build a home?
Well, I have to stand firm on that. I can just see all kinds of upset.
Okay, the $30 an hour for consultants is different than if somebody is getting benefits. So there is that equality aspect to it. And it's not a perfect solution, I agree.
But let me ask you this. Do you consider that position critical to your minimum level of service?
Oh, we can't. We're dead without it.
So you can't function without it. Would you consider it essential?
Yeah, it's absolutely essential.
Absolutely essential position. It's a priority area for our county to make sure housing can occur quickly and just even within a reasonable, like this year is what we're talking about, sounds like. I think we need to provide you some stopgap funding to immediately secure it. I mean like immediately. And I don't want to ask how backed up you are because I probably won't be very happy with your response, but I want that to be solved immediately. In fact, we made it very clear this was critical to the council 2 or 3 months ago. So my sense of urgency here is boiled over, and we still have no solution. And so I'm willing to make a motion to fund that 3-month position effective immediately if we can.
Estimate on the cost, how much is he going to have to work? 20 hours a week, more?
Right, and then he's also going to have to be trained.
I thought he was retired.
Oh, who are you talking about? I thought you weren't hiring
an expert, existing expert.
Jones.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, Randy Jones.
Well, whoever it is, there are probably more than one person, right?
I thought we were talking about hiring
a certified septic person.
No, this is an interim,
interim consultant. Yeah. Or
contract work. A lot, I'm told.
I know.
It's somebody to fill in the gaps for the current septic inspector who may have.
It's a contract, and it may be two or three people. different contracts, and I think we need it at the going rate if that's...
$30 an hour.
If it's 30, now that was a staff for, well, let's just say 30. I'm ready to make a motion. If you throw a number, I mean, 3 months, $30 an hour, 20 hours a week, whatever it is, let's not wait another month for this.
So my response to Ernie, Jen, and John would be that we're going to pay him $30 an hour, but he's a contractor and not getting benefits.
Or if they have a problem, send him to the council and they can come talk to us.
Yeah.
Because we
can't. We're working towards it.
Yeah, we can't punish the public totally for this problem.
Benefits weigh pretty heavily.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, this. So, can you give me a dollar amount real quick? Because we're running out of time here.
A dollar amount?
Estimate.
What would you require for 3 months of a contract? People at 30 hours a week or
four
whatever?
Months?
That's 13 weeks.
4 months. Let's make it four.
Make
months.
It four. Because you've got about
20 hours a week.
Let's do 20.
Okay.
That's 260 hours.
Times 30.
Times 30.
$7,500 and to the council, I mean, you know, we're talking about assessed value here. These homes aren't built. There's no assessed value increase. There's no workforce. There's no student population. These are also contractor jobs relying on these positions. And this is not a small thing. This is critical.
So $8,000 goes a long way is what you're saying.
Could be 1099s, no taxes taken out. They'd be required to take their own taxes.
These are contracts.
Contracts.
Yeah, they're contracts. Yeah.
That's included in the,
Right.
No benefits.
So that's about $8,000. Anyone want to make a motion?
Make a motion that we approve $8,000 for the next 3 months for the health department
Four months to immediately
contract septic inspectors as needed. Out of the attrition fund.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? One. Okay.
Thank you. And can you please move on that quickly?
We're not,
Thank you.
I don't worry about that.
Thank you.
That's new houses built.
Thank you.
Not to open up the can of worms, Doctor, but do you have access to anything that you're seeing in your inbox around this increased incident that we're seeing of measles and diseases that we thought once were gone around the world? Do you have something you can send to us?
My understanding is it's the anti-vaxxers and immigrants. Immigrants are coming in and the anti-vaxxers tend to be in pockets or communities or school systems, and then they get an immigrant or two with measles or whatever.
Have you been asked to do a risk plan or something for our county or anything? Thank you. Next item is House Bill 1454, Fire Departments.
Greetings. Thank you for allowing us to present our problem. That's supposed to everybody else here has a problem.
Okay,
so we come with a solution. Our problem is this. If you all are not familiar with our county's fire department services, we have 6 volunteer fire departments, 2 of which have been in service since 1954. Okay, ever since they've been in service, all the departments have had to come up with funding to provide the service for all the community residents that they serve. Okay, the way they do that is they raise money through fundraisers. Some do bingo, some do fish fries, some do yard sales. They've had just a big yard sale here recently. Some have fish fries on the square, some of you may be familiar with. Some have events. Some are doing car shows right now. The one's coming up in the south. Okay.
Hey, quick question. Why don't you guys identify yourselves, which departments, whatever?
Okay, sure. This is a committee that was formed by the association to bring this House Bill 54 to you. My name is Jim Norton. I'm the chief of Fruitdale Volunteer Fire Department. This is Rhonda Ellagood. She's with the Brown County Fire Department. And this is Jess Osteller. She is with the Corder Sweetwater Fire Department. All 3 of us are members of the committee. Any further questions?
Yeah.
Well, it's just...
Okay, all right. Sorry, I forgot that. I was going to do that, and it just slipped my
mind. Yeah, and one thing, if you do have opportunity to make it concise, please do, because we're going pretty long.
Okay, I'm trying to. Okay, what House Bill 54 is a something that is that the legislature has brought to us that allows us to, go ahead and do another slide, that has brought to us an ability for you all to bring us a solution to our problem. And the problem is that we have to train, we have to respond, and we have to fundraise, which is a burden on our volunteer firefighters. Okay, when my dad was a volunteer, when I was a kid, things were different. Things are different now because of our society doesn't allow it to happen like it did back then. The pressures on the families are more. The husband and wife were working, where I was just my dad was the only one at work. So he had a different set of rules. So it doesn't allow them to have as much time to commit to the fire department to do all of this. So if we could alleviate some of the problem, which is the fundraising aspect of it, the money aspect is the way everybody's brought to you so far. If we could alleviate part of that, we would bring the pressure down on our volunteers. They wouldn't have as much work to do. Okay, we respond. We do a lot of training. They're mandated by the fire service. The state requires us to do so much. We not only do fire service for the community, we do EMS services. As the Board of Health gentleman mentioned, there's a lot of trained EMTs on all the departments now, thanks to the Institute, I'm sorry. We all do that. I'm an EMT myself, she's an EMT, you're an EMR. Okay, so we provide that service also. So we have that extra training we all have to do. Okay, the House Bill 1454 was brought by the legislature to give us more funding through the employee tax. Okay, they reduced the employee tax, the state did, by 2.9%. Giving an idea of how much the savings that was for a person that was making $150,000 a year, they saved $125,000 by that reduction. Okay, go ahead and give me another slide, please. Now, all the departments have unique ways that they serve the community. This is one of them. This is the Brown County Volunteer Fire Department. They have 202 square miles of the Washington Township and the town of Nashville that they cover. Mm-hmm. They have a large run load. Okay, give me another one. Corky Sweetwater, they have a BLS non-transport. They actually have an ambulance that they provide for the community. Another one, please. This is my department. We have a lot of big venues in our area that we cover. Drag strip, Billman Rose, two state highways. So we do a lot of runs ourselves. We have a high volume ourselves. Southern Brown covers 17,500 acres of the Brown County State Park. We all respond there also. We have mutual aid and auto aid agreements with all the departments. We actually respond with other counties as well. Okay, our budgets. This is Brown County's budget. As you can see, they have a negative of $272,000, and they had a total expense of $112,779 a year. Give me another one, please. Corky Sweetwater, that's hard to read.
Yeah.
Anyway, their budgets are high as far as how much they have to pay, because everything's expensive. You put a penny on the table, to you it's a penny. If it's earmarked as EMS or fire, it's $100. It's not a penny anymore. Our department, we do a lot of fundraising, but we still don't have a large income. We have a county trustee that funds us, but basically the money that they give us for that covers our insurance, which they have to cover anyway. Okay, give me one more, please. Okay, Southern Brown, they have a lot of problems with funding also. They are presently trying to up their game as far as they're having a car show, trying to bring more revenue into their department. But that puts a strain on all the volunteers having to commit to be able to build a fundraising event like that. Now, this is our run totals right here. As you can see, over the years, our run totals have increased. Nashville's has increased to a total of 330. Ours increased to, it didn't increase.
Well, that bottom line.
The bottom line is 2024, I'm
all
sorry.
All the way up to May 1st.
Yes. Okay. So, the previous year, you can see the increase. 717 runs total for Nashville and 331 for us. Another one, please. Okay, cost savings. Based on a cost savings study commissioned by the Indiana Volunteer Firefighters Association, they came up with, if we had one career volunteer fire department in this county, it's per statewide averages, 70 members is what would have to be to run one for our county. The pay and benefits for that would be $7,134,849 a year. Operations and equipments and maintaining their structures, $1,969,049. Total cost for a career department, $9,103,898 a year. That's quite a bit of money. The reduction for the state existing district-wide fire tax levy is $1,032,156, which gives you the annual cost of $8,071,742 a year. Existing total property tax level levy is $3,529,010. That's an average percent increase in property tax levy of $228.73 for one department. Okay, what we're proposing is what the state legislature gave us is the opportunity for you all to help fund the departments. Okay, give me another one, please. Let's see, this one. Yeah, what they gave us was is that you could use the income tax and you could ask for 0.01% up to 0.5%. Okay, what they would do is that they would give the money proportionately to each department by property values in their area, with exclusion of farm ground. What they're trying to do is protect structures. In other words, we do protect farm ground, we do wildland fire suppression, but they just took that out of the equation. To be able to fund a department, Nashville, of course, is going to have more property value because they have more structures in the area. They would receive more. Same as Cordray Sweetwater, but each one would receive funding. They do, in the House Bill 54, have an equation, a formula that figures this out, how it's to be divvied out. We would like for you to consider doing this for the fire departments, because fire departments, as volunteers, worldwide, is a dying breed. We do not, and we cannot, fund a career department in this county. We don't have the funding or capabilities, as you all have discussed, with just the health department and the sheriff's department. We don't have that kind of money. This is an inexpensive way to help fund the fire departments and keep us afoot on our feet.
Okay. And you're saying the state is allowing this in January?
Okay, what this is, this law is already enacted, it's enforced now, but you have to enact your part. You have to do your part, and it goes into effect from you guys on January 1st.
What's the deadline?
January 1st.
When do we have to enact something?
Okay, the example they gave to us on the video for us to watch to understand how this works is that if you start now, you could probably get it done. I think you have to have a couple of readings or whatever in order to put it into place. So whenever you have it read and accepted and voted upon two times, I believe it is, then you can put it into place for January 1.
It would have to be part of our budget.
Right. Correct. Have you determined what that would generate by chance?
No, I have not, because I don't know the figures to do that with.
They gave an example, the IVFA, the video that Jim was just speaking about, a income of $50,000.
It's 150.
No, it was 50.
Was it?
It was $50,000. Just using the 0.01%, that would allow the county to have $36 of that to give that back to the fire departments. So that's an example of what they gave on the video.
Now, the example it gave for the savings for the reduction in their tax, income tax, was to 2.9, $150,000 equated to $125 savings per year. That, what she said, is $36 a year. So if we can't afford $36 a year to have quality fire service in our area, you know, that's a cheaper way to go than $9 million.
I think we got some rough estimates. If we did the total 0.05%, in this county, it might end up being about $225,000. Is that what you're thinking of?
I had no figure in mind because I didn't have anything to base it upon. Okay. I don't know what our income level is for the county to calculate it on.
Just give me some less. Is this net of, is this a net, Susan, is this net zero to our current lift structure, or is it, was this an incremental 0.01 to 0.05?
This would be, well, it would be a new tax. we wouldn't reorganize your existing lift.
On top of that?
It would be on top of your existing lift. It's a new lift.
Thank you. Any idea what the, how the public feels about this?
Well, generally, the public's idea of our fire service is that we're all career fire departments, and you all are paying us big money.
Yes.
Honestly.
We have a lot of runs. Actually, I've been on a lot of runs where people ask me, you know, what the fire department do you work for? And I said, well, I volunteer for Nashville. And they have no idea that there's no paid departments here in the county.
Yeah.
Susan, have you heard anything about this in other counties?
Not this particular house bill. No,
okay.
I have not.
Just curious.
Now, look to the next page, please.
Actually, it's
okay. Back one. Back for the this right here. There's a video that you can watch if you're interested in learning more
and
specifics about it.
I can forward that to everybody.
And all of our numbers are in the packets that we gave you, which is as far as each department.
I believe it's, was that the,
yeah, I see.
It's already there, the packet.
Yeah.
This.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's already on there. So it's on that packet.
I may have missed this, but in terms of how the money would be spent, could you talk a little bit more about that?
Okay, the House bill itself has a formula that you can go by in order how to disperse the money. It's way above my pay grade.
Once it's dispersed to each department, how will the departments use it?
Okay, the departments have to fund a lot of things. Like I said earlier, we this department, my department, gets money from the trustee that's basically just covering our insurance. So our expenses are, we have to upkeep our equipment, we have to upkeep our building, we have to pay everything that you all pay, electric, heat, gas, water, all that. You know, so and the fuel. Fuel is a real big expense for our vehicles. Gas, we have to keep gas and diesel fuel on our property in order to be able to be viable, make runs.
Does this House bill give you specific ways you have to spend this money?
No.
No, it does not.
It does not.
So it's open.
Yes.
You know, and the thought comes to mind, like the fuel of your volunteers and you driving your personal vehicles for emergency responses.
Okay, there is a compensation already in state law for that. It's $200 a year. Yeah. We can't, right now, can't cover that because we can't afford it.
Yeah. So I can't imagine how much we spend as volunteers in fuel putting into our vehicles. Good. And I don't know about these guys, but I've over the years that I've been on Nashville, I've spent probably thousands of dollars out of my own pocket for extra equipment that I carry with myself.
Yep.
Lost time at work, you know, especially when we've had a structure fire, we've been out online.
Covering things for fundraisers that we can't really cover through the department.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be a really great help for all the departments, honestly, it would be.
I mean, out of all the public safety entities in the county, it seems you're the by far the most underfunded.
I agree 100%.
Right, there's no question, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
And so, what I will say is I know, we lost Jim, where'd he go? Oh, yeah, the long meeting. You know, I'm happy to explore funding options that may not be income tax related, is what I'll say, or property tax related that kind of target. You know, I guess that's the other question. If Jim were in here, he'd say, how many of your runs are for out-of-state tourists or out-of-town tourists? Like, do you do a lot of medical runs for people that don't live here?
Yeah,
it's part of the nature. We're a tourist community.
Yeah.
we can't afford that, you know.
Is any of that documented? Do you have actual solid numbers on that?
As far as tourists?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Will it be a non-resident? Right.
Yeah, non-resident.
We'd have, the way we'd have to document is go back all the runs and look at addresses, you know, where they're from. You know, we do document their addresses and so on and so forth, but.
Is there a way to do that, just as you go to, I mean, is there some, I don't know all the paperwork, the way you track it and all that stuff, but is there a way to simply and quickly note that it's a non-resident and keep track of that, where it would autofill, like in an Excel spreadsheet where you, at the end of the year, you would have that number? Is that something that, is that something you could simply do, or would it just add an extra burden?
That's just going to add an extra burden.
Okay.
You still can't have one thing about that burden.
What I'd like to do is, we've got the sheriff's department, we've got the fire departments, we've got our court system, we've got the jail that is all impacted by tourism. And what I want to do is go to the state with solid, accurate, real numbers of what tourism from the state park and the state lands is costing us, so we can tell them, hopefully we get another committee hearing at least sometime, so we can tell them what the state tourism is costing our county that we cover, that we don't get compensated for from the state itself. Any numbers that we can generate and come up with would be a huge help.
I really can't give you a number off the top of my head, but I'm going to say it's going to be a very large number. Because in just our area, Bill Monroe's has a lot of campers, and a lot of those are out-of-state people. Also, the drag strip, a lot of people, especially the two events, the one in the spring and one in the fall, are large events. People come from everywhere to those two events.
See, the problem Darren's talking about is we've tried many different avenues to try and get money out of there, because half of our property is non-taxable, plus, but we have to go service with emergency services.
Yeah.
We can't give them any hard data to justify that. That's a real problem. So if you did have a little check mark on a form that says out of county, that could be extremely helpful. It might take a year or so to help.
We've got to be careful about it, too, because, as you said, if we've got a run going to Bill Monroe, that's not a state-owned, that's a county. The county gets a benefit from the people at Bill Monroe.
Good point.
Whereas we don't necessarily get a benefit from anybody in the state park, because they're not necessarily shopping in town. They're not. They're a tourist in the state property that is causing us.
Okay, the one place you might get that information a lot easier that's going to probably be the one that makes the most runs to that particular place would be IU Lifeline.
Yeah.
They make all the medical runs in the park, and they could probably put that data together.
Great idea. That's a good idea.
Because we may or may not be the ones that respond. My department, it may be their department, it may be Southern Brown. You know, you're going to have all your information coming from all different places. That's one central location you might get that data.
And we don't collect patient information because we don't have that that capability in our platform system that we use. So any information that we collect, we give it to EMS when they're on the scene.
The other quick, you know, where I think council's coming from is trying to apply a tax to the folks using the service in a way that protects our residents. And so that's a separate thing, but do you, and you've got several departments represented. You know, you said you collect insurance money, I think, or no, that was Dr. Ostreich. Do you collect, you know, is there a need for any kind of systems that would help you more completely recoup funds from insurance companies that could be paying you for accident responses and
so
fire responses?
We do. Nashville uses fire recovery, and we were able to turn into insurance for structure fires, car wrecks, car fires. Sometimes you can do wildland fires, depending on if we feel that they caused it, so it'd just be an accident. We're starting to run into the insurance companies not wanting to recoup us for the fees, because it's not in the owner's insurance, their policy, yeah.
You know, if there's a way to work together across departments to enhance that with a system upgrade, or you know, if you need software even by department and it will pay for itself over time, you know, I'm very interested in helping you do that. And I know you don't have, you're not insurance billers, but this is one of those ways that we can recoup money that people are insuring themselves for instead of having it come out of, you know, a different sort, out of your fundraiser.
Yeah.
We're actually just now starting to implement that. We have a billing service that we're working with now.
Yes, that's what ours is. So I do all the insurance billing. I plug in, I give them all the information, and they take it from there.
Okay, I would suggest we're going to have a work session 2 days to review tax issues. That we look at that and further with our financial consultant and just get back, stay in touch with us over the next month and we'll see where we can go with this.
Do you guys need a, there wasn't a copy of the house bill in there or something?
No, but there was a link
in
the email that I sent out last week.
Yeah, appreciate that.
And I'll forward you the video as well, so that way all of you can watch it.
Thank you for being here.
Good question. Nashville Fire Department?
Yes.
That's you?
Yes.
Okay. Who do I need to talk to with regards to the 38, 40 acres that was gifted to the Nashville Fire Department? It's the real estate west, east of...
Creekside?
Yep.
Probably anybody on the board of directors, but if you have a question, I might be able to...
Well, it's a real eyesore, and we need, as a county, we need to deal with that real estate.
We're
you can burn it down. Can you guys go burn that down? That'd be great. And bulldoze over.
We had somebody lined up to mow it for us, and then they backed out. Okay. And we haven't been able to find anybody to mow it unless they want to charge us $800.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
So do you have a name for somebody that I can call and talk to about that?
If you want to call the, you should just call the department and leave a message.
Well, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to play voicemail tag. Is there an individual with a phone number that I can reach out to?
Maybe off.
I'll get it to you.
Yeah, I'll try.
I can email it.
JimKemp@JimKemp.com.
Yep, I'll do that. But yeah, we know that it is an eyesore, and we've been trying to get somebody to mow it, but we just can't get anybody in.
Yeah, we need to do something with this account.
Yeah, we understand.
Okay.
We really understand.
It's east as you're going out of town. What's the park down where that is?
The Shell Station is
golf course, Crescent Golf Course. It looks like the, you know, St. Asylum used to be there.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Yep.
It's an eyesore.
It's
bad. All right, we're going on to the next item. Is the ordinance modifying local income tax rates?
Mr. President, I'd like to motion we table that. It is correspondence from Jackie and Solid Waste District and how that may impact them indirectly, and we probably need to hear from Greg on that. Somehow it's complicated. Levy freezes, lit tax, you know, that whole thing is a Greg package, and there's some impact to Solid Waste. We just got an email today or yesterday, so I would suggest we table that for now, unless it's a problem timing-wise for Susan.
From me, no. I mean, you're going to start running up against your deadlines if when you have to give notice to other taxing units on those lit rates. Just give me an eyeball. So, I mean...
Wednesday then.
Yeah.
It'll be tabled till Wednesday.
Yeah.
When Greg's in town.
To your motion.
Or so moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Motion made. Next item is resolution. This is no resolution. Right, Julie? Just two ordinances?
Yeah, we're not doing the resolution.
Okay.
Just doing the ordinance.
And the one ordinance is one we did last month. And we just have to read it again, is that right?
Yep.
It's the ordinance council bill number 4, ordinance number 2024-06-017-002 about the ordinance establishing a non-reverting auditor's ineligible deduction fund. I'll recall.
Yeah, so that, just to bring you back up to speed, if you recall sometime, I believe it was in April, Julie talked about this fund. It's established by state statute that she can put money into this fund when she finds somebody claiming a homestead that shouldn't be, and she recovers that money. It's just that the fund was never created. It's a non-reverting fund by statute, and so she just needed the ordinance to show that she's dropping it in the right fund within her office.
So we never created the statutory fund.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yep, so we're just cleaning up that. It's a housekeeping measure.
Okay. All right, all right.
I have one quick question about that fund. Is that money collected every month, or is that a one-time you go back and if somebody's claiming it, you get back what they claimed, and then that's...
It's not an every month thing. It's not a regular income.
But if you find somebody with a second residence and you can go back, how far can you go back? And
depends on how long they've been claiming.
Yeah.
If they've been claiming two residences for 3 years, then you can go back 3 years. And but you can't go any farther back than 3 years.
Okay. But that's the money that goes into this, and it's not, you don't get, like, if they would have claimed it next year, you don't get that money put, okay, I just wanted to clear that up.
No.
In case there was confusion about it. It's a one-time shot of money you're recovering that has all the
money.
Yeah, we get
those
guys comfortable chairs. Okay. All right, next. So do we need to...
That's an ordinance, so you have to
read it
twice.
You read it once before, right?
Right. Was that in a vote when we read it? I know we read it. I don't remember if you voted on it. I'm going to say that.
No vote record on it.
All right. So since it was not, I believe it was tabled.
Signed.
Right. I believe it was tabled.
On the second.
So you're going to take two votes on it tonight if it's unanimous. So you've already read it. You can read it by ordinance number and title only, because there are no additions or corrections. It was not amended, but you'll pass it because it's an ordinance. So you'll pass
it. This is the fastest reading.
Did you take a motion?
No, we just read it. Titles.
Title only.
Oh, good. Okay, ordinance number 2024-06-017-002, council bill number 4, an ordinance establishing a non-reverting auditor's ineligible deduction fund. Okay, we take a vote on that?
Motion.
Make a motion to introduce and vote on that ordinance by that number that you just read.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank goodness. Now we say it again?
Sorry. Wait a minute, we had a unanimous vote.
Yes. Yeah.
So now somebody needs to make a motion to suspend the rules requiring a second.
I mean, you don't have to suspend rules if it's unanimous. You can read it twice in one meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought we still had to suspend rules, but you know, suspend rules was if it was
unanimous. Yeah. So we don't need to. It can still be title only now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Should I go ahead and make the motion to suspend the rules?
Sure.
Because that's where we've done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to suspend the rules requiring a second separate reading of this ordinance.
Yeah. Second.
All in favor, say
aye.
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 So what does that mean? We don't have to read it?
No, now we have to do the second vote. We have to do the second reading, but we suspended the rules requiring
a full second
that we read
reading.
It at the next meeting. So now we can read it twice at this meeting.
Okay.
So now we need to, now we're doing our second reading.
All right, ordinance number 2024-06-017-002. Council Bill Number 4, an ordinance establishing a non-reverting auditor's ineligible deduction fund.
I move that we approve the ordinance as read.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? So we sign it now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next item is ordinance number 2024-07-15-002, council bill number 12. This is regarding the GO bond. Ordinance of the County Council of Brown County, Indiana, authorizing the issuance of a general obligation, that's the GO bond, bonds for the purpose of providing funds to pay the costs of certain capital projects and incidental expenses in connection therewith and on account of the issuance of the bonds and appropriating the proceeds thereof. Whereas this is a 17-page document. I've been told I can read certain critical parts of it. Whereas the County Council of Brown County, Indiana, the county, has considered undertaking one, the installation of new HVAC units and or replacement of existing HVAC units in certain facilities owned by the county, including but not limited to the county jail facility. Two, certain construction, renovation, improvement, restoration, and or repair projects for the Office of the County Prosecutor. Three, certain repair, renovation, and or improvement projects for the county courthouse, including but not limited to the repair of the outside steps and other related facilities. And four, various other projects in the county, clauses one through and including four, collectively the projects. And other item is council deems advisable to issue pursuant to Indiana Code 36-2-6, Indiana Code 6-1.1-20, and other applicable provisions of the Indiana Code, collectively the Act, the Brown County, Indiana General Obligation Bond Series 2024, in one or more series with an appropriate series designation for each such series, and in an original aggregate principal amount not to exceed $4 million for the purpose providing for the payment or reimbursement of all or portion of the costs of the projects, including capitalized interest, if determined by the auditor of Brown County, Indiana, prior to the sale of the bonds to be necessary, and two, preliminary expenses related therefore, and all incidental expenses incurred in connection therewith, all of which are deemed to be a part of the projects, and three, the cost of selling and issuing the bonds. Is that sufficient? Okay, there is one item, I don't know if you all got this. We had a modification to this today. Did you all read that that was sent to you?
Yeah, are you talking about page two, the first whereas
paragraph? Yeah. Okay.
Since there's been a modification, we need to read that modification, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, the modification says, whereas the county expects professional oversight by the county's owner's representative on any and all projects during the duration of the projects to ensure proper quality and integrity will be provided, and to pay for certain costs of the projects or costs related to the projects, collectively the expenditures, prior to the issuance of the bonds, and to reimburse the expenditures with proceeds of the bonds.
Okay, I don't have any idea what you just read.
Yeah.
Because what I don't know is the county expects professional oversight by the county's owner's representative. So, like, who's that?
We've had them utilize them before. We paid them $200, and we saved $23,000 on the courthouse, but some of that was negotiated back. He's a professional person who knows what building is like to oversee it, not using amateurs or, let's say, backyard mechanics.
I would say it's likely and probably the fact that this person has not been secured nor identified, and the commissioners would carry out the selection of that individual?
Yes. I mean, it would be their responsibility to hire the owner's rep, but it's a consultant that works for the county to ensure that it's getting built according to the specs that the county has put out, that nobody's shortcutting anything in the construction process.
Yeah. It's like a county engineer that we don't have, but he's a consultant. The commissioners are reviewing a contract with a person in that nature.
This paragraph, who wrote the paragraph?
Well, the lawyers approved it.
Okay, who are the lawyers?
Barnes & Thornburg.
Okay, so Pittman did it? Somebody did it.
I think it was somebody special. Right.
And so what this is just paragraph is speaking to the email that you sent out here a few weeks ago with them and a disinterested third-party professional that we hired to come in and do oversight.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Okay. But Susan, you're saying that the commissioners then make that decision, and the council has no authority over that.
That's true. The commissioners hire that person. They contract with that consultant.
Okay.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Susan, was anything left out? I mean, we didn't talk about the amount.
Percent.
Well, maybe you did.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough.
Did you supplement?
Right. Right now, it's not to exceed $4 million. When you get closer to selling these bonds, you're going to price them and you're going to determine the length of your bonds. It may be 3 years, it may be 4 years. It's all dependent upon keeping your debt load level so that your county taxpayers do not see increases and decreases in their taxes over these next few years, so that it's all level and they can rely on what's coming out year to year.
Okay, Susan, I'm going to kind of lean on you again for some help.
Okay.
Because I'm having a really difficult time keeping all this organized in my head, because I received an ordinance back on June the 17th, which was 16 pages, 8,285 words. Then on July the 12th at 5:06 Eastern Time, I get another ordinance. And then this afternoon at 2:40 p.m. and 7:15, I get a third one. And then we had a work session meeting. What is this? This is July. This would have been in June. A work session meeting. And on 6:17 at 11:18, I received this resolution making a preliminary determination to issue bonds that somebody drafted up. Okay, and then we, I think, discussed this in a work session. I believe we did. And then, if I remember right, I made a motion, and we seconded it, and we approved it in that work session. And that what happened? Because I think Scott was the only one that voted nay.
Oh, geez.
And so I don't remember. I think we voted on... I thought we voted on this resolution making a preliminary determination to issue bonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was supposed to happen is in section 4 on the resolution making a preliminary determination to issue bonds, section 4 read, the Board of Commissioners and the Auditor of the County, and each of them is hereby authorized and empowered and directed on behalf of the county to take any other action as such individuals deem necessary or desirable to effectuate the foregoing resolutions, and any action heretofore made or taken be or hereby are ratified and approved, which I objected to.
Will you read that one more time, Jim? Last part.
Okay, I took the Edwin Woodhead sped reading course.
you were fast. Thank you.
All right.
Just that last part.
Just the last
part you objected to or whatever.
Well, I objected to the whole thing. The Board of Commissioners and the Auditor of the County, and each of them is hereby authorized, empowered, and directed on behalf of the county to take any other action as such individual deems necessary or desirable to effectuate the foregoing resolutions, and any action heretofore made or taken be and hereby ratified and approved. And my interpretation of that paragraph is basically this, is that we as a council body say, here you go, here's our authority, you guys handle it, we don't want anything to do with it, we'll see you when you come back with the final product, and you'll just tell us, here's the product, now council, vote on it. Because it's not kind of any different than where in the document that I received today, it states, that the, where was it? The amount of the proceeds of the bonds together, estimated investment earning therein, does not exceed the cost of the project as estimated by the council. Well, the council never estimated any of these projects. We didn't have anything to do with the estimation of these projects. Furthermore, I think we've got an estimate, kind of an off-the-wall, sketchy estimate on the prosecuting attorney's office. I got it here, I had to pull it. But that's pretty high. I think it was 2.6 million, something around there, right? And I guess my concern, Susan, is this, is that, so do I, if I vote yes for this and we approve it, it's going to go through the underwriting process, it's going to get approved, and then y'all are going to come back and go, here you go, guys, approve this, right? And of course, we want to, the reason we're doing it is of this, you know, levy stabilization is what's really driving the sense of urgency off of this, right? But at issue, what we do is then we're going to go ahead and basically borrow $4 million, and then, you know, come January 1, here you go, commissioners, here's $4 million, and, you know, have a good time. And we have, as a council body, have absolutely no control whatsoever on how that money is spent. And that I have as a 18-month private sector tax-paying, oh my gosh, person, right, got elected to represent the taxpayers, and I'm going, I'm going to borrow $4 million to hand it over to three people, and then if two of the three want to do whatever they want to do, they pretty much do whatever they want to do, $4 million, and there's nothing the council can do. Is that pretty much how it works? That's how this whole thing, that's how the game's played?
I mean, technically, so in general application bonds like this, the commissioners identify the projects because they are in charge of infrastructure. So the commissioners identify the projects, the council finds a way to fund it. If the council doesn't want to fund $4 million, you don't have to fund $4 million. Nobody says that you have to fund $4 million, but what that sends the message to the commissioners is you need to cut projects then because we can't fund $4 million. So it's a teamwork effort in determining what your projects are and how much you can spend. Again, the commissioners are in charge of infrastructure. They identify the projects. The original resolution that you had was saying, we agree to up to $4 million, but bring us back the projects, because, you know, we haven't, that's what this ordinance now does, is it does identify the projects. The original ordinance that you had from actually something like April did not identify projects and only put it out there that we were going to reimburse for any costs that the county incurred as a result of these projects coming on board. I noticed on my drive in here that you're already working on this sidewalk around the courthouse, right? If we don't pass it as a reimbursement ordinance, which is included now, it's incorporated into this ordinance that we're seeing tonight, that reimbursement is going to come out of this geo bond. Otherwise, you know, whatever work you're paying for the sidewalk around the courthouse right now doesn't come out of here. So, just FYI. But, grand scheme of things, the commissioners identify projects, they're in charge of infrastructure, council funds the projects, and you fund whatever amount you're comfortable funding. That's your job, not mine.
Is this the final case, or we'll give another shot at it later as they clarify further? As we get closer, for instance, defining interest rates, things of that nature, time frame and interest rates.
They have identified the projects. They should be providing you with the estimates for those projects, right? When you're talking about over 4 years, the estimates are probably high, which is your bonus for having an owner's rep overseeing these projects. You know, if this is a four-year bond, right, you can identify what year you want to do these projects. They don't all have to get done in year one.
Well, first of all, this whole conversation is really pretty simple. There's $1 million for AC units, and the big expensive item is the prosecuting attorney's office. And an issue with this whole issue is that, you know, do you go 3,000? You know, prosecuting attorney's office, the current one's about 2,140 square feet. And, you know, and what we've literally not discussed, is really had a really healthy conversation about, you know, how much is too much for prosecuting his attorney's office. Period. You know, I mean, if you all want to spend $3 million on a prosecuting attorney's office, be my guest. You know, because it's only a $4 million bond, so if you spend $2.6 million on the prosecuting attorney's office and you got a million for AC units, there's your $3.6 million, you got a little bit left over. And so the core of the issue for me is how much is too much for the prosecuting attorney's office, and we've never discussed that. So that's where I'm just kind of bringing this up, because we're getting ready to vote on it, and you know, I want to go on record.
Yeah, that's why I voted against this issue last time, was the lack of detail. And at our work session, where some of us met with the commissioners as a council and talked about it, we made it very clear that we wanted some very simple work to be completed and reported back to us. I have not seen that. So I guess my question is, if this fails, Susan, is it killed forever, or does it come back up? Or?
You can revisit it later this year. I say later this year only because we're having this conversation about level debt load. You don't have to pass it this year. It's just that your tax bills are going to drop, and then they're going to increase, and then you're going to hear from taxpayers that you're increasing taxes. All right, that's all that is. I mean, that's totally up to you all.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Was
any, speaking of projects that were not in there, do we know if IT projects got included in there? Because last time I talked, and I think you told me to come to you when I had significant because I had a significant amount that I needed spent. Was any of that included in this fund? Because that's what I'm being told.
Have you talked to the commissioners about that?
Yes.
And what did they tell you?
That you guys were doing it.
So you should have come to us and said, hey.
Well, they said they were going to come. And then that was the call I was supposed to be on while I was at conference, and I was told I didn't need to call in. But
yeah, I'm not sure what project you're talking about, but I don't see it on here, and I haven't heard
it. Is it my capital plan, which I was told to turn in for this project? Mm-hmm. And I did.
To the commissioners, all of us, yeah.
Hey, Laura?
I mean, the commissioners have already started making decisions about what's getting done.
Because here's where it's real simple. $4 million note, got about 80 grand worth of underwriting cost on it, so you're going to net, say, 3.9 million, right? In that, you got a million for the AC units. And then DLZ, they got a preliminary, which we just received first time last month, okay? And this is just basically kind of a preliminary, you know, estimate. And, you know, 2.1 million. So if you got a million for the AC units, you get 2.15. And that's assuming we don't run into cost overruns, which council members, if we think about it, we were supposed to build a coroner's office for 100 grand, but it ended up costing us $150,000. So this is why I'm concerned with this DLZ.
It's supposed to be completed by now.
I don't mean to prolong anything, but...
I think you should follow through with that yourself if it didn't get to us, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have tried to follow through, and I got kicked off the work session agenda a couple of times now, so I don't know how to follow through. But I'm telling them...
What the project is, I'm not sure.
It's infrastructure. It's all infrastructure. It's about... I mean, I told Gary today I have about $140,000 this year and $70,000 next year that are not accounted for in any budgetary
plans. New computers and stuff.
New computers, new servers. All the
computers. I doubt we'd want to finance with debt, but maybe the server is a big, big expense. But I haven't been asked to.
I don't know how we get around doing computers. It's fine. I don't know how to follow up on it because I'm being told by you to talk to them, by them, that they're handling it, but they're not handling it.
The commissioner's handling the budget on this bond.
There's a lot of variables in there. I think we're going to have to move this to Wednesday, and Laura, if you could stop by, we'll get you in for sure this time. Yeah, don't believe anybody else. Because there's a lot of questions. Now, you have a question?
Real quick, I was just going to throw in a piece of information. DLZ was in the prosecutor's office today and did have a sit-down with Mr. Adams to really get the needs and the wants, the wish lists and the minimums. So hopefully that means DLZ will get you guys what you're looking for shortly. I don't know their time period, but I do know that that meeting did happen today.
Okay, today?
Yep.
Thank you.
So do we want to leave this till Wednesday when we get a little more information from the commissioners?
Yeah, and I think a point that we made last time, I just leaned over and asked Jim if it was added, was if you remember this, you know, financial whack-a-mole stuff that happened a couple of years ago where operational expenses were paid out of the bond issue, the SBOA audited us and said you shouldn't have done that. We were asking for some mechanism or wording to be added to this thing to help us avoid that scenario going forward with this next issue. So apparently that was not addressed.
Well, no, it's not.
Are you familiar with what happened?
I'm not familiar with that. I didn't see any of that language in there, but GO bonds can't be used to fund operations. So if you were given that advice, I think that was bad advice that you were given.
What do you mean? We called it out. We said you shouldn't have done that, but they did it. SBO agreed with us, the council, and we were lucky that the SBO didn't tell us to reimburse the proceeds with these bond funds were issued.
Yeah.
And then we were asking, I think, last time I was present with this discussion, of having some kind of language added into this thing where maybe before things were spent, they had to come back to the council and explain what that was for so that we could at least have a voice in helping prevent the misuse of these funds?
The projects themselves.
No, when the actual money flows.
So with bonds and your ordinances that you're passing, you're appropriating that money now, right? So just like on your budgets that you appropriate at the end of the year for 2025, those department heads and elected officials can spend that money throughout the year and not come back to you as long as they're staying within their appropriation. That's exactly how the bonds work. When we pass this, you're appropriating that money now.
Okay, when those bonds get, when we sell them and we collect the $3.9 million and that money comes in, can we create a non-statutory fund and on that non-statutory fund have internal controls that speak to where we control how much is spent on what? To where we can actually have discretionary authority of how that $3.9 million is spent. Okay?
I understand what you're asking. It's not going to be the answer you want.
Well, I just want the truth, whatever it is, whatever the statutory, whatever the regulatory framework says, it's like, you know, we got to go by the regulatory framework. Right. Right.
What the framework is, the commissioners give you the projects with the estimate that they're putting in for those projects, so they can spend up to that amount on those projects, and you're appropriating that money when you pass them.
So it's all done on the front end.
It is.
It is all done on the front end. Okay.
And I'm still not hearing our point, which is what if they go and spend it on something else?
I don't think we can. I think that's a challenge with this. You know, in the 18 months I've been, you know, and keep in mind I'm in here as a private sector Joe Bob, right, that gets elected on the council and had to learn everything I've had to learn. And Gary,
we don't need the background.
And maybe you don't need it, but may I, if you have a little bit of respect for me.
Good.
Is that my understanding on this general obligation, and Scott, you can reconfirm this because you've been around a while, is that it originally started out with $1 million, and then that one matured, and then we went to the $3 million for 3 years. That one's matured, and now we're at $4 million for 3 years. And the second $3 million, because I've got it, I don't have it with me, but I've got it. The $3 million that we borrowed for 3 years is the one, Dave, that we spent and got written up by the State Board of Accounts. And in addition to that, that's in arrears. And that's what's contributed to our negative AA credit rating by Standard & Poor's. And so there's my frustration is here we sit and we've got an employee, 150 employees that, you know, need more income to live because they've gotten bitten by inflation over the last 3 years at 20%, and I get that. And, you know, we're in a negative cash flow situation. We're burning down our cash reserves. We don't have, we got 200 grand, 2.25 sitting in the rainy day fund, you know, and then we'll see what happens on the 4700 fund by the end of this year, okay? And so we're burning down, we're slowly going to burn down our cash reserves, and then we're basically over here having to put the housing maintenance on our line of credit, home equity loan line of credit, credit card, whatever it may be. And so we're going to borrow the $4 million. And so I guess I'm, you know, I get it, makes sense. So if we're going to have to do like the AC, it's got to be replaced. The prosecuting attorney's office needs to be dealt with, it's, you know. But at issue, have we done our due diligence? And can we look in the mirror and say, we've really vetted this, right? And, you know, I made a good decision, and here's why I made the decision. And when somebody in Van Buren asked me, Kemp, why did you vote for that general obligation bond? I can tell them. And so right now I've got some doubts, and I'm a little insecure with the whole thing.
Well, you're not going to have a perfect solution. It's true. We do have to allocate some authority that we don't get control over.
My only thought on your question of what happens when we see somebody paying for operations out of a GEO bond, it would be before commissioners approve claims every meeting, go look through the claims and make sure that what's coming out of that fund is our capital improvement projects that you have that are approved in your ordinance.
Yeah, well, have your auditor send it to you.
Yeah, that's a good
stop. Track it all the time.
She doesn't.
Yeah, it's tracking, and it's you all committing to that. That's, I mean, with the auditor's assistant, that's my only suggestion at this point.
I presume we could also have the
owner's representative come before us and
report
on fundings that are going or expected expenses and justifying those.
Right. Because the hope is these estimates are high so that, yes, you're replacing 12 HVAC units on top of the jail, but your hope is that you've estimated high and you're going to have some savings there when you actually do that project. So that if you have an HVAC unit go out here, you can use those GEO bond funds to cover that because that is a like project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like we have some IT things that we need to add in here possibly. I think Laura, just recalling some conversations we've had with Tom Pittman and Greg Garitas about the 911 contract or something going in here, and they said it wouldn't work. But these other expenses you're talking about, I mean, I don't know if you think the commissioners would entertain adding them, if you think they're important.
They were supposed to have added them already.
Yeah, why don't you send those to Greg Garitas tomorrow?
I've already done that.
You've already done that?
So it sounds like it's a no. So.
No,
it's not a no.
No, I sent it to the commissioners who were supposed to send it to Greg Garitas.
I see.
Send that to me and I'll send
you. You might just go straight ahead to him. Whatever.
Yeah,
Wednesday we can have you talk to us and bring this to us. As far as this is right now, I think instead we need to go on further. Do we need to make a motion to move it or just leave it?
I would make a motion to table it until your Wednesday meeting. If that's when you want to, let me clarify, I guess, what your special meeting on Wednesday is going to talk about with Greg. Is it going to talk about capital improvement projects or is it going to talk about bond?
Isn't the capital improvement project inherent to the bond?
No, it's a part of it, and that's where I think the confusion is. Not all of our capital improvement projects are paid for with debt. But and there's been some confusion.
Right,
about
maybe
that.
Maybe Greg is sticking IT equipment in Cume Cap.
Yeah, it's not all covered by debt, and we don't want it to be. It can't be. So, yeah, I'm a no vote right now. We have zero additional information from the commissioner, I think, that was responsible. I'm a no.
No, you want to make a motion to put it up to Wednesday?
No, I just want to vote no.
Scott votes no.
I'm going to vote adjourned. Scott vote no.
I was going to say, if you don't obviously think you can get the information by Wednesday, Wednesday,
I don't think
for your
can.
Next regular meeting.
Don't wait for me.
In August.
We've done more than we've ever done in this area, but we're still lacking the financial control oversight.
Yeah.
And I'm here, nobody knows how to put that in this.
Well, it doesn't exist. Well, we have to do it on the front end.
And realistically, is there any aspect of putting financial control in there? It sounds like this is a boilerplate document that says once you go, you go.
You know what we could
do? That's not pertinent to our county personally, isn't it? It's standard procedure, is it not? Yeah.
Right.
Susan, hear me out.
Like I said, we got lucky. Put that $1 million back in there.
What if we say, okay, you got $1 million for the ACS, we'll give you 2.1 on the prosecuting attorney's office, and that's it. You got $900,000 left over.
She says,
and then what happens is, let's say they get in the prosecuting attorney's office, and they're like, hey, man, it's going to be like $2.3 million. Then we got a little bit of leverage because they're going to have to come back. Well, they have to come back to us to get us approved to go above the 2.1.
Your projects need to total your bond amount.
We haven't even done that yet. Yeah. We don't know what the total list of projects are to equal $4 million. We don't have an itemized list. I've never seen one.
Just the prosecutor's office, the courthouse, the HVAC, that's
but I've never gotten a printout or anything that says, here it is, line item.
I thought Greg sent that.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah.
We've seen it. This is going nowhere quick.
Yeah.
I think we'd be better off with Greg here and the commissioners here on Wednesday, and we can talk further.
Hammered out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
motion to table until our Wednesday morning meeting.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No.
That's an oxymoron.
Is that it?
All right.
I'm going to be adjourned.
Is this a quick appropriation issue?
Yeah.
These are new appropriations, right?
Yeah, so this is waited all this time.
They've waited all this time to get on. Okay, Laura, we'll give you two. 2 minutes at the most.
Oh, I don't have to have 2 minutes. These are just, the telephone system was for a bill that was being paid out of the wrong place. And then the IT fund was money that I saved last year for projects like the courthouse and the coroner's office. So all that money is in the cash fund and QMCAP, right, Julie? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all in the cash fund and QMCAP. I'm just asking for what I had left last year that I had allocated for those projects. That's it.
What are...
I don't know what the third one is.
So, if I could, you know, this is a new appropriation.
It is not a new, it's a new appropriation, but it's appropriating money that was already appropriated last year.
That wasn't spent?
That was not spent.
And that, why was it not spent?
Because the project, I couldn't get in there to do it. The buildings were behind, remember, the courthouse was behind, and the coroner's office was behind.
So these are courthouse and coroner's office projects?
Mm-hmm.
To install networks?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's coming, one of them's coming out of our CCD fund?
All of my stuff is coming from CCD.
From the CCD fund.
Except for the top one. The top one's telephones. That's a whole story that I'm not going to tell tonight.
Yeah, we're supposed to be talking about these things. They're new appropriations. It's thousands of dollars.
Well, the telephone system, we found that during an audit that we did ourselves of money that was coming out of one of our lines. So when we asked for money for the phone bills at the beginning of the, during budget time, I wasn't aware. The general fund is generally not my fund, but I have some lines in CT, but all I knew about was the phone bill that I was in charge of, like the county phones. So that's what I budgeted for. There are multiple AT&T bills that were out there to the tune of $400-$600 a month. I've since called and gotten those down to $70 a month, but they have been paid for the entire year, like until now. So we're about $9,000 in on those. So that's what we're appropriating money for, because it's not there.
So the budget was reduced where it was originally paid, mm-hmm. put in your budget with no funding.
I don't know where the money got put in County General that I took out of the phone bill line last year.
So it was budgeted
for the amount for their main county phone system.
Right.
These are auxiliary lines. One's for 911 and other places. And so we've since cut them down, but I didn't even know about them. I didn't know they existed.
How were they paid in the past, though?
From this telephone line. So I told them last year during budget time what our main phone bill was, and then I think our lines were just crossed. Pardon the pun. That we had other things to pay. Because those never came through to my office. They just started coming through my office this year.
Yeah, it sounds like we missed it in our budgeting, like, because we cut it somewhere, thousands, and then didn't add it, but
yeah.
That doesn't make sense. I don't remember cutting telephone budget anywhere. So how is it not there now? Like, I don't know.
It was cut. I remember cutting it. I remember telling them that it was less than what they were paying.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. So, okay.
But I wasn't, I guess I didn't do my full due diligence because it's not my fund. I didn't see everything that was paid off of it. They said telephone. I assumed they meant county telephone, sort of.
Gotcha.
A miscommunication there. So, I don't know where they're requesting to pay it from, Julie. Do you remember the to and the from?
Okay. Top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know what line the general fund they're proposing to move it from.
I don't know. We've been here 3 hours, so at this point, I'm going to
give everybody whatever they want. That's why I wasn't here before.
You need 10 million? No problem.
I mean, I don't think the phone line's in the red, so if you want to wait for this till next month, you can. But the other one, I mean, that's all money from last year. The middle line here?
Yeah, and we sound like we need to do that at least. I make a motion that we approve the middle line as additional appropriation.
Cool. I was going to say, hang on, because it's all one additional appropriation.
It is, okay.
So, like, you need to have some conversation about emergency management.
Oh.
Emergency management was $1,300.
Yeah, you had some work done, and I had one of the girls that worked for 911. And after hours, there's...
He's a contractor.
He contracted services. And I'm sure that he was here up until a certain point and decided that he was tired and wanted to go home and eat. Probably. So he left.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
Do we know where it's, the money's going to be paid, the $9,000 it's going to be paid out of? Is this
yeah, it's in his
capital outlays.
$1,300.
Sorry.
I mean, your $9,000 is coming out of your unappropriated general funds.
Is that where it's from? I didn't see the.
It should be coming out of the CCD fund.
Well, if you didn't spend the last year, that's where it rolled back into.
Yeah, it would roll back into the CCD.
So the general.
Not the $9,000. The $9,000 we did spend last year. Sorry. So we're on two separate.
No. Here's what I think you told us. Somebody else was supposed to pay the $9,947.57. We don't know who. We don't know what fund. You're saying it should have all been moved into your fund for this year. That's what I heard.
No, they're two separate things. You're mashing up the two things. The phone one was just...
Well, then why don't you speak more clearly? What fund was $9,147 in?
It's the general fund. I don't know. That's what I'm telling you.
Who paid this bill last year?
The general, this line that is underfunded.
Who paid this fund last year in 2023?
The commissioners. I mean, it's all commissioners.
The commissioners filed the claim?
Yes.
So now, does your office file a claim?
She doesn't have a department.
Yep.
Yes,
but it's all out of the commissioner's
money. It's all,
so
yeah,
it's dropping into the commissioner's budget.
Yes.
Yeah. So the commissioners wouldn't let her have her own fund going into this year.
They don't.
Because we wanted to clean up this stuff for her. But they wouldn't let it happen. So this is all money that's been floating around in the funds of the commissioners.
Right.
Oh. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sounds like it.
And so now you're asking us to appropriate it from where to where?
I don't know the exact line numbers. I don't have them. I didn't turn this one in.
Here, let me pause, right? Here's what happened. Last year, you appropriated $25,000 for telephones. This year, she looked and thought she was only going to spend $15,000, so she told you all to take it down to $15,000. She got these other bills. She's actually going to spend the $25,000. It's this. She's spending, although now she's saving, the same amount of money last year. It's just that the budget was reduced because she didn't think she was going to spend that amount of money.
So I get all that, but the person that owns the fund isn't her.
Nope.
And so why is she asking us, and why isn't it a claim?
Well, I sat through 3 hours to get the answer to that question.
Yeah,
I mean, 2025, we can help you out. But this is 2025.
No, it's an additional appropriation. So if you didn't budget for it and she's going to overspend that line item and can't move money within commissioner's budget up into there, you're going to have to additionally appropriate money for her to spend and pay.
I don't know why I'm here.
So this is, we actually pared down the budget and told them.
So I do understand.
We pared down the budget and told them, if you need it, come to us. This is what she's doing? Is that what you're saying?
If that's what you told her at budget time, yes.
Yeah, we tried to pare down the budget to make it look good last year. And we says, if you really need it, come to us.
That's but they dropped it into your budget now. Is that what you're saying?
As the IT department, she's responsible for making
those payments.
And
she
has the ownership. She has the claim with the commissioners to have this paid. Now there's no money.
The commissioners told us they didn't want us to do that. We were going to set her up with her own fund number. We go through all this. And they said, no.
Okay, so do you want me to put this on for next one?
I think you've already got what you need, because whoever owns the fund, where this money is, was, why aren't they just doing a claim?
Well, because it's not in the telephone line.
So
the appropriation was dropped.
You guys aren't understanding what I'm saying.
I think we need to table this until
Who owns the fund?
Commissioners.
Then why aren't they here saying, hey, we need this appropriation from wherever general fund to this line?
That would be a good question.
Isn't that the proper thing?
Yeah. They'll be here Wednesday.
I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying.
I understand.
You know I'm a champion for you. And you can put it in spots where you're trying to explain funding.
I can understand.
You don't know.
I understand.
Why don't we table it till Wednesday?
Is that the same case for all three of you?
You'll be there for other things anyways.
Is that the same for all three of you?
No, the middle one, I saved money at the end of this $14,000. It's just the projects didn't get done on time, so I couldn't spend the money.
Still commissioner funds, though?
Yeah, it's CUMCAP, yeah.
All right, got
it. I'm going to adjourn.
Okay. Do we need to table this?
All right.
Anything?
Yeah.
I mean, you're advertised for a public hearing on additional appropriations tonight.
Tonight.
So, right.
I'll come back.
I mean, if there's any public comment on these additional appropriations, you take it now.
Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah, I'm okay with the money. I just don't think we've got the right people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to make sure we've got some room, we advertised it for today. We can take public comment today.
Yes.
Then table it to Wednesday.
You can if you get it on.
We advertised for this meeting. This meeting is carrying it over to the next meeting, so we've covered all the advertising bases.
Right, and you fulfilled your public hearing comment period. But you can't carry this additional appropriation over to Wednesday because it doesn't fall within your agenda categories that you have advertised for Wednesday or within the 48-hour period. So you'd have to table it for your regular meeting in August.
But if somebody, if there was a commissioner here, we would be moving these monies from the general fund to a line in the commissioner's fund to pay for these?
Commissioners are still in the general fund. It's all general fund money. It's just the $9,000 was not appropriated at the beginning of this year. And so if they can't move transfer funds within their budget to cover these expenses and get their fund balanced by the end of the year, they're going to need an additional appropriation.
So if the general fund, if you can tell us what line number and which fund this goes to, I think we could vote on it.
That was given to Julie. I just don't have it in front of me. That's the paper in front of me.
I mean, are you with me?
Yeah. Let me go downstairs and get it.
Hold on. Mr. President, I move that you accept public comment and table this item until our next regular meeting.
But then Susan says we can't vote on it the next meeting. You can
vote on your regular meeting.
Yep.
Your August
not Wednesday.
Regular meeting.
You can't vote it on Wednesday.
And then we don't.
So she's just going to have to hang on.
Her 9:45.
Her line item's not going to go red between now and August. Okay. But between now and the end of the year,
we'll have a look at it. We're laughing.
Do we need to formally table it?
Yeah.
Any public comment? Do I have to ask three times?
No.
Okay.
Motion to table till our August
regular meeting. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, I have public comment. Put me at the top.
Arthur.
I'm going to adjourn.
Take a second.